This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio. Cool. Echo, though. Echo. 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 Oh, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Earth feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation.
I initially thought that I thought maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike Show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Cut the jibber jab.
Hello.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
I'm on the second bear.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. Welcome, welcome to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Orange, with you. Let me turn that down a little bit. Ah, there's the fader. Hey, welcome to Bo Dam. I'm your host, legendary Joe Arnger, with you. A ghastly disaster indeed. Welcome to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on spring break. They're down flashing teenagers in Fort Lauderdale, so they'll be gone for a little while. But you've got me until then, and lots of great, great best of for you. And, let's get right into it. Let me look at my sheet. Oh, let me look at that beautiful sheet. Hey, Rob, what do you think of this sheet? Nice. That's the peace sign, right? That's right. We're out of the war by September 2008. So he gave me the peace sign. All right. Well, let's get into it. This is always going to be great. It's Mike's daughter meets Robert Duvall on the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Birthday to my daughter, Catherine.
Oh,
I wanted to say that right at the front of the show.
Amen.
Happy birthday, sweetie. I love you, and I know she's listening right now, so happy birthday,
nice.
Catherine.
Well, then, listen, before I mean, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, a lot of things.
A list.
A lot of things to discuss.
Yes.
Including some of our fabulous listeners. Why did you start off?
Well, you can do your... I was just saying happy birthday.
I wanted to mention it was something nice that happened to your daughter today.
Well, it's her birthday, and she also graduated from the sixth grade today.
Ah, very good.
And I'm very, very proud of Catherine. I have been... You know, I don't say it often enough on the show. I mean, she's just such a great kid. And they had the big... I don't remember when I was going to school that they had sixth grade graduations where you graduate from elementary school. Fifth grade, I should say, and you're going into the middle school. But they do that now, and I guess they do that at a lot of schools. So she had the big ceremony, and it was a combination deal where it was the graduation, and then I took her out to lunch to celebrate graduation and her birthday. She's 11 years old today, and it was, you know, it's very hard when you're a part-time dad, because you, especially if I don't have the girls, which I don't this weekend, that it's just the lunch, and you want everything to go very, very well, and it was great. She was happy,
good.
Gave her presents for a birthday, and we having a nice lunch. And then we're out in the wilds of Virginia, and there's only one celebrity that you hear sightings of out in that area. There's a guy that lives out there.
I already know who it is.
Of course you do. Uh-huh. Everybody knows who it is.
It's old Chicklet Teeth.
It's no, not Chicklet Teeth.
Not Robert Duvall?
Yeah, Robert Duvall.
That's who I meant.
Robert Duvall comes out there, and he's seen...
I almost caught. Never mind.
Wait, what's that?
You thought I was talking about somebody else.
Yeah, I did. I did indeed. I'm glad I didn't slip.
Yeah.
He walks in, and you know, when you're out there in this part of Virginia, it's everybody can't minds their own business, and you try to be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him out there because I travel in the same areas, and it's kind of rural, and you don't have a lot of places that people can go to eat out. Right. So I've seen him. And everybody, and I think the way people treat this movie star is that you let him have his space, and you don't bother him. The adults are like that, and that's the way, it's almost like that's the cool thing to do. Well, here's the deal. I didn't know my daughters are going to recognize him.
Really?
And I'm sitting there.
You know why? I'll tell you exactly why.
What's that?
I bet. The awful Will Ferrell movie?
No.
With Ditka?
No.
No?
No.
What?
They're sitting there, and the kids go absolutely bananas. And I'm like, I see him first when he comes in, and then they see him, and they're like, oh, my God. And they said TV star. They see most of their movies they see on the screen. They see him. They're like, oh. I'm like, all right, girls, stop staring.
How do they know him?
Yeah. The number one movie, the movie they watch all the time, is Secondhand Lions. They watch this movie. I didn't know this, that they love this movie. Huh. They go absolutely bananas over this. And they're going, and it goes back and forth. I said, all right, Elizabeth, Catherine, Elizabeth, please don't stare. Don't stare. Not cool. Small restaurant, tiny little restaurant, let the man have his piece in it. And they keep going on. This is the first time I think that they have seen somebody that they've seen on TV that they get excited about. They're both at that age now where they're kind of tracking with the fact that I do a radio show, and they're excited about this. And finally, they keep going on and on. And I said, well, why don't you just go over and say, hi, I'm a big fan. I'm sure he would appreciate it. Well, that starts the discussion that goes on.
Your teeth look like chiclets.
Nah, don't. Yeah, and so I know you want to, but don't this time, because she's listening to it.
Oh, right. Listen.
So we saw
him one time in a restaurant as well.
And they go back and forth, and they're talking about whether they're going to go. They're having this big debate, and finally I say to Catherine, she said, I'm not sure I want to. I said, Dad, should I? I said, honey, you can go up if you want to.
Right.
I said, the what you should do is the only thing, if you really want to go up and say you're a fan, and you leave and you don't do it, you might feel kind of bad afterwards.
Right.
So that apparently clicks in her head. And then just to see these two little girls, my 11-year-old, my 8-year-old, they go to the back, and Robert Duvall is sitting at this one side of the restaurant, and they go down this hallway where the kitchen is and the restrooms are, and they're standing in the hallway, and I've got my back completely faced, so occasionally I'm glancing over the shoulder just to see the progress of this thing, and they're having this animated discussion in the hallway as to, what to do, waving their arms around, and I'm looking over there, and I was like, really, I'm glad this isn't next to his table, because then, you're really invading the guy's space, because they're going, and how little girls are where they're like, no, you stop. Stop.
Right, they're making their plans.
I don't know what they're saying, but they're making their little arrangements as far as what they're going to do. So finally, I look over my shoulder, and I see they're approaching the table. Well, I try to be cool at this point, so I completely turn around. So now I'm out of radar range, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm counting on the fact that they're going to get a little brief hello. So I sit there. A minute goes by. 2 minutes goes by. About 5 minutes goes by. I turn back. I look over my shoulder. And there is my daughter,
being
Catherine,
spanked by Robert Duvall.
No, not good.
Never speak to me when I'm having my meal.
Who
sent you over here, girl?
There is a tiny bit of me that said, yeah, she should if she really wants to, because it's her first experience of the day.
Right.
And then there's another part saying, I have no idea, because I don't know. I haven't heard what the rap is. Mm-hmm. How some people, some celebrities don't like to be bothered. I look over. Catherine's got her hands on her hips, and I'll describe the body language where she's just having this conversation, this relaxed conversation where she'd occasionally like use her hands and talk, and she's having this discussion, and then she comes back, and at that point when they're walking away, I see them both do the thing where they're like like that, and he cracks up at that. He sees that they're doing that, and then here's where I'm the jerk.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like instant idiot parent.
Oh, no.
Because
what did you do, Dad?
I turn around. I'm way at the other end of the restaurant, but I lean back over and I just give him kind of thank you, and I get no reaction. Like, you know, and at that point, I feel a little bit guilty about the whole thing. They sit down, and here's
Mr.
all.
Duvall, stage father back here. Thank you, Pachango.
I was nothing of the kind.
I treat people the way that I want to be treated.
No, I know what you mean, though.
I felt like that. You know, I did feel like that.
That you did just lean over with the look.
I did. I laid it on them. I mean, I said, this is you, you know, but it was. You know, in my own mind, I think I really wanted them to go over.
You were rooting
it.
For them.
Yeah,
sure.
I wanted them to do it. If they didn't want to do it, they didn't want to do it. It wasn't going to happen. But since they did it, they come over and, you know how kids relay a story. So this is all I can get out of the conversation. That she walks up and she says, I'm a big fan. I watch Secondhand Lions all the time. And apparently he said to her, who did you like better? Did you like me better than Michael Caine? Which I thought was pretty funny that they had that discussion. And then other than that, I said, well, what else? She said, he said the school I go to is very tough. It's a tough school and congratulations on graduation.
Ah.
And so it was, and then they came back over and we finish, she's opening up her presents. She gets her little cake and she's got a cheeseburger and a brownie sundae in front of her because she hasn't eaten her cheeseburger. Typical of my daughter. Never finishes any food that's put in front of her. And she's got the brownie sundae and he walks up. And this is when he's right next to us, and as he's walking out of the restaurant, because I can't do an impression of Robert Duvall, but he does say, hey, you know, he's got that kind of voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, and he walks by her and he goes, what do you got, a hollow leg there? You got a hollow leg? And he walks out like, you know, like the old Western guy right out into the street. And I am here to give my daughter Catherine the guts of applause for walking up to the movie star. I was so proud of her. I thought it was absolutely the cutest thing she's ever done. And I think, hopefully, that down the road she'll remember this birthday because of that. Because it was just kind of fun. But who, you know, I think of Robert Duvall. That's our generation as far as watching movies. I don't think of kids reacting to it. They're going to react to, like, Kelly Clarkson. That's what they're going to get.
I would have bet that it was that dumb movie with Will Ferrell.
Was he in the movie with Will? Which one was that?
The soccer movie.
Oh, I didn't see that. Kicking and Screaming?
He's Will Ferrell's dad.
I think they've seen that, probably, too.
And
probably saw him from that.
This guy is the next door neighbor.
Right. But you know what? You say stage parent, and it really is. It is similar to being a stage parent, because you're just over there, you're hoping that everything goes right. You don't know, seriously. I mean, I know there are movie stars that would probably go, excuse me, I'm eating. He wasn't eating yet.
Tell your dad I'm having dinner.
Tell your father who sent you over here.
Don't they know him from The Godfather?
Yeah.
Look, Daddy, it's Tom Hagen.
You know what I did say? I said, you know, when they get a little older, I'm going to show you all the movies that he's made that I like. So it's cool. So that was, you know, it was fun for me. It was fun for my kids, and they were happy. And
I predict movie roles. I think you'll probably put them in a movie now.
Oh yeah, right. This is going to lead to the big break, the very big break.
I predict they'll be selling hot rolls at the movies.
Selling what?
Selling hot rolls.
Hot rolls?
Like,
oh, hot rolls. You mean
like, you know, big pretzels and stuff.
Oh,
and muffins.
You predict that my daughters will be doing that? Or is this...
God, don't take it so personally.
Is that...
Yeah. No, I predict the same thing for my retarded son. Okay, did that make you feel better?
Sorry to get you angry. Didn't mean to get you angry. Sorry about that.
Hold on. Don't...
Yes.
What do you mean when you say
did
that?
Did you get mad at me?
No, because you got mad at me.
Yeah, a little bit. I just, you know, I don't get a chance to spend many birthdays with my daughter. Let's not make it a bad thing. Let's make it a good thing, okay? Let's make it a really nice thing, please.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on, really?
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
What do you mean, please, what did I do to make it a bad thing?
No, I didn't know what you were saying. I do get sensitive about my daughters. I shouldn't get sensitive about my daughters.
I wouldn't kid you seriously about your daughters. Mm-hmm. I mean, buses,
right.
It'd be a role for them. I'm trying to think of, you know, okay, granted. Not hilarious. I'm just trying to think anything to...
Some kind of a roll.
Just segue, you know, roll.
Oh, well, roll. Yeah, that's a roll.
Yeah.
A roll.
Roll.
Right.
Roll, roll.
Roll, roll, roll.
They could sell rolls.
Mm-hmm. They could sell rolls.
Because many times kids get jobs
at movie theaters. Yes, of course. Now I understand. I understand.
Okay.
Yes, I understand.
I mean, don't get mad at me.
I understand, of course, Bruce.
Don't get mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
Are your daughters listening right now?
Yes.
Dad has issues, girls.
Dad does. Dad does have issues. Daddy has a lot of issues.
Dad's a good man.
Thank you.
Dad's got some
and
issues.
And had a great birthday day much. Today.
Yes, a very great birthday day.
No, your dad had a good time with you today, girls. Like they need to hear that from me. Hi there. How you doing, girls?
Wouldn't hoit.
Your dad had a very good day with you.
He had such a good day with you. He's afraid that I'm going to... He thinks so little of me and our friendship that he thinks now that I'm going to say something awful and cruel that will somehow scar you girls.
F you.
Stop it. Now, that's nice with your daughters, Lizzie.
No, now you got me mad. Now you really got me. What? I think so little of our friendship. Come on. Cut it out. Now, that's not fair.
Well, what do you think it was?
That's
really
not fair.
If because today I do know your daughter is listening right now.
That, maybe not now. Yeah.
Oh, you think mom's changed the channel by now?
I have no idea. They just said I said it. You know, I'll talk about this at the beginning of the show. So how could I possibly know?
I'm just screwing with you.
I know you are. I know, and you do it so well.
I'm glad you're. I swear to God, I'm elated that you're happy about your daughters. Mm-hmm. That you had a good day with your daughters.
Good.
That whole Robert Duvall thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's seriously.
Good.
That's very sweet.
That is. I'm very happy for him. I really am.
Okay, now be funny. Okay, there you go. That's pretty much how it works.
We don't always have... It doesn't always have to be funny, does it?
Well,
does it always have to be funny?
I think we've proven that.
I think we have always proven that.
I think that's probably going to be
once in a while,
what our slogan's going to be. It doesn't always have to be funny.
It doesn't always have to be funny, does it?
The Don and Mike Show.
It don't always have to be funny.
No, it doesn't always have to be funny.
It's rarely funny.
Where's dude? It's occasionally funny.
Occasionally funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, happy birthday to your daughter.
Thank you.
Like you said.
Yes, and, 11 years old and going on to the sixth grade. Yeah, I'm done. My story's over.
Oh, okay.
I thought, you know, that's normally when we transition. You know.
Okay.
We lost our complete after 20 years? Is our timing now destroyed because of this?
Yes.
Okay, I've ruined it, haven't I?
Yes.
It's all my fault.
It's over.
Yeah. All right, let me try it again.
Girls, are you hearing this?
All right, let me see. All right, and she's going on to the sixth grade. Fat ass. Is that a better transition?
Now, Catherine Elizabeth, if you're listening,
yes,
your daddy was saying that to me.
Yeah, that was
not to you.
Hear that, don't say that.
That's right.
Hear that, don't say that. Don't repeat it. Daddy can say it, but don't you say it. What?
Do as I say.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. That's right.
The anthem of the modern parent.
Yes. Treat others the way you treat people.
Exactly.
The way you wish people would treat you.
My mantra, how I've lived my life forever. How I have always lived my life.
What?
What?
Nothing. No, that's what I said, what?
Yeah, what are you looking at? Why are you looking behind you?
Because I see a flurry of people come in the studio.
What's Rob doing?
That's exactly kind of what I was wondering.
One of the cart machines is not working. I'm trying to make sure it's plugged in.
Okay.
That's all. And Joe's here as well.
Anything you want to say to Mike's daughter?
Happy birthday. I hope that many good years lie ahead of you.
Thank you very much, Rob. Thank you. Thank you. That wasn't very funny, though.
Well, I can think
it's funny, for Christ's sake. Write something.
Have to be.
Remember, if you're laughing at it, Rob probably wrote it. Thank you, Joe. That's your line, too.
You wouldn't want to read what he might write right now.
No, I would. I'll read it. If he writes it, I promise you I'll... Go ahead. There we go.
What did he write?
My balls. There,
balls.
I said it.
Balls.
There we go. See?
I didn't want to say that.
Fantastic. I said it.
Balls. I'm not saying it. Mike's kids are listening.
Okay.
So, what are you boys doing now?
I'm just laughing at his head. I'm laughing at his oversized head.
Needs a haircut.
His gigantic. You don't need a haircut. Well, yeah, shave it to the skin again. God forbid. Yeah, you're really, it's getting down to your shoulders.
It's a meeting someday. Change your bald spot.
Crew cut, Sheriff.
Your hair grows. Well, listen, are we cool? You and I cool?
Yeah, we're very cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Buzz, of course, you're always cool.
Always cool.
Buzz is always cool.
Be cool.
Wearing his tiny shirt today.
I know I get sensitive about my kids. I always do.
There would be no kidding.
So the thing that makes me laugh is that when you said your father thinks so little of our friendship. No, I don't. I don't. I do not think
so little
of it.
But the truth is that for whatever reason... That when I said that about your daughters, what did you think I was going to say? I kind of did, not literally think bad, but mm-hmm. What do you think? That on the day your daughter's listening and that you're going to be saying this, I'm going to say something awful that's going to scar her or scar you?
Scar her? No. There's nothing you could say that would scar her. You know, I don't think so. No, I'm not.
And not that, well, mm-hmm. I could.
What's that?
I could.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah,
I mean, I could with anybody, though.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't mean that, of course, toward your daughter.
Yeah, of course, you're talking naked cruelty. That would
anybody could. It's not what I'm about.
Exactly.
At least in this instance, it's really not what I'm about.
Me neither. I think we both have those wonderful barbs that we can throw when we need to, but there's no need, of course.
I was just trying to lighten things up.
I don't think it was exactly. I wasn't describing a funeral march either. You know, I was just telling a story about my kids.
I know you were.
Well, you know, I thought it had its little light moments. You know,
it was an outstanding story. Right. I mean, most important, who gives a frig? You're happy, and you're happy that you had a happy day with your kids. That's
excuse
transcended.
Me. I was happy, okay? I was bouncing off the wall.
Do you see, girl?
I was bouncing off the wall, you
Did
know?
Did you like this with you, girls?
Got here.
Did yeah. you like this with you, girls?
Occasionally that happens, girls. Occasionally daddy's, you know, very unhappy until he gets in here. Today he was very happy.
Until he got here.
And it's gone.
Until he got to Sad City.
Out the window.
Welcome to
all
Sad City.
All of my
City.
Goodwill, all of my joy.
Excuse me.
Sucked out of me like a pit viper bit me in the leg. Right now. You know what I am now? Joyless. I am joyless. But, no, it doesn't matter, Rob. You don't need to be joyful to be funny.
There's no joy in Mudville.
In fact, show me a comedian who's
right?
really joyful.
Oh, the more miserable, the funnier.
They really don't exist. Mm-hmm.
You are not really miserable now.
Not really, no.
Not really, yeah. No. See, I know.
Still,
I mean, I know now.
Maybe there's a little left in me. But I'll make sure that's sucked out of me before the show's over.
You can still be the sad clown.
I can be the sad clown. The angry clown, Rob.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I want to be the angry clown.
That's true.
So very sad. Oh, Johnny Constantino.
Hello there. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
What? Hello?
Bad cell phone.
All right. Try that one. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Bob had walked up to him and asked him if those were his beauties.
If Bob Duvall walked up to you and asked you if your daughters were your beauties.
I think you might have the wrong Bob.
That'd be Bob Barker.
Be Bob Barker.
Bob you're talking about.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they all say what they wish.
Probably wouldn't have.
Although I'm sure Bob Barker is often mistaken for Robert Duvall.
Constantly.
No.
Wink Martindale. You know, people constantly confuse him with Kevin Costner.
Spay and neuter your horses.
Yeah. We were mentioning that he was great in The Godfather. Here's one of Robert Duvall's best scenes in The Godfather.
I am wearing a handsome medal from the Special Olympics. Christopher Whittam, stand up here. Christopher was on
Robert
the championship
Parker.
Basketball team in the Special Olympics, and he presented me with his medal.
Robert Duvall.
Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. I am honored.
Who's our next player, Burton?
Yeah, of course, Robert Duvall is great on The Price is Right.
He's fantastic.
We love it.
Absolutely.
Really.
When he does putt hole in one, right? Hole is that the game? Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Well, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I thought it was a lovely story, and you told it so well.
With such enthusiasm.
With such enthusiasm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
That's it.
Bye bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hold on. The nose is never wrong.
Oh, is it her?
It's Cheryl the Big Dyke.
It is, and the weekend's here, right?
Hi, Cheryl.
That's a good ear.
The weekend's here, and I'm a big queer. It's Gay Pride Weekend.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
And we are once again sending you down with the CBS News tape recorder,
oh,
right?
Good.
Yes, you are, and I hope to spend half of the weekend face down, ass up. So that'll be fun.
Cheryl the Big Dyke is nice enough once again. She's going to be covering the Gay Pride Parade.
Excellent.
This weekend for us in D.C. She'll be down there with a big, gigantic microphone that says CBS News on it.
I'm still trying to get that image out of my head right now.
And
face down, but I'm cute now. So
yes, you're lovely now.
When's the one in Baltimore?
That's next weekend. I won't be at that one. I think maybe Homo Joe's going to be at that
one.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have double coverage of both D.C. and Baltimore's big gay pride parades. All right, well, ask good questions and see if you can get laid or do whatever it is that you do with those things.
I just want to put a warning out there that downtown there will be a lot of homosexuals about, so be warned.
You never know.
At this weekend in D.C., they'll be everywhere. Remember, your nose knows.
We'll be everywhere trying to get married and threatening your traditional family.
Make sure you get a lot of tape of those drag queens, okay?
I will, and I'll make sure I ask if they're pitchers or catchers just for you guys.
Very, very good.
Errol always
Thank
does
you,
a great
Errol.
Job.
But I never let my guard down because one never knows when a homosexual is about.
You never know. Thank you, guys.
All right, love you long time. Okay,
thanks,
bye-bye.
Thank
you. We got a break. We'll be right back, friends.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'll tell you about it.
Like a life-altering herpetics tour. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Definitely a life-altering herpetic sore. Welcome back to the Best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, the legendary George, with you. Still trying to work out these buttons. When I come on to do Best of, I always have a little trouble with my buttons. Let's get back into the Bow Dam. It's a continuation of the last segment. Mike feels guilty. Let's find out on the Best of Don and Mike.
Let me tell you about my gal pal.
Yeah.
My gal pal. You... No.
I'll talk about it.
Go.
Okay. One of the reasons you have a partnership that lasts a long time is when Don and I even have the slightest little disagreement off the air, we normally deal with it during the break and we'll chat. Mm-hmm. And I actually was really explaining how that this particular week, it's been very difficult, and it comes and it goes, and I guess... When you're a single parent, the way I put single dads, single mothers, single whatever, you know, when you go through a divorce and you have kids, there are two schools of thought, at least the way I understand it. There are people that like go their separate ways, mm-hmm. and really kind of can move on and deal with that, with the children issue because they're just, you know, they don't care. I mean, they just want to extricate themselves from a situation. And then there are, you know, people that split up, and I always want to remain a vital, important part of my kids' lives. And the reason I think I get more defensive than, it's interesting when you'll talk about your son being Sir Sleeps a Lot and stuff and say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm more protective, I think, when I'm on the air, when I'm talking about my kids, because you can't escape the feeling that I get sometimes, and I don't know whether other people can relate to this, that you, when you go through what I've gone through, you can't escape the feeling every now and then that you have let your children down. You can't, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how good it may be, that you take yourself out of a relationship, because God knows staying in relationships can sometimes be 10 times worse,
sure.
than if you go apart.
Oops. So I got some CB interference there.
We had a brief discussion because Dom was asking me if I was doing okay, and I said, you know, I'll keep it brief, but I'll tell you, and this is what I told him, what I'm telling everybody right now, that when you're in that situation, you get so defensive and you get so protective, you get hyper protective.
I think people can relate to say the G word, say what you felt.
Guilt.
Yes. Mm.
Guilt.
Yeah.
It's guilt. And I didn't put it there because it's the same thing. You know, when I'm feeling that way, when I'm not there, that I'm not there all the time, that is, the single worst part of all of this. And this is not to put my ex-wife down, but really my total angst and my anguish in this marriage breaking up was based on my kids, always has been. Because my thought, you know, when I was growing up was that you do it, you stick in there, you hang in there no matter what, because otherwise you're letting your kids down. And it is something that comes and it goes. And I was saying to you that this particular week, the feelings of guilt have been there. And because I'm sitting there and this, you know, the very brief time I had with my daughter today, which I always think maybe not enough,
right.
And the thing is that I get along with my ex-wife well enough that I can see my kids whenever I want. We have, you know, the visitation thing. It's not it's not Kim Basinger, Alec Baldwin. You know, it's very, we've moved past that part,
right?
And so that's good. But you can't help. And I suppose you're right. I suppose there are people that are divorced feel like this all the time. You know, that you feel you can't, I don't think you can escape it. It is a guilty feeling, and if you care, you know, you just feel guilty. You feel, you know, hey, I should be there 24/7 all the time. You know, I am, but I'm long distance. I'm not there all the time. And that is, you know, somebody said to me when I first split up with my ex-wife, somebody said to me, the best thing about, you know, this kind of relationship is the fact that you have kids, and the worst thing is that you have kids.
Right.
Because you feel such guilt over the fact that you are not in their lives on a daily basis that, you know, that nags at you all the time. That is what, you know, I had to get by and I had to deal with. And it rears its ugly head. Now that I'm thinking out loud about it, it is something I dealt with every day when all that, and you were talking to me when that was going on too. You knew where my head was at there. It was terrible. And it sometimes comes back and revisits you, the guilt. And it's guilt, guilt, guilt. You're like, God, did I do enough? Did, you know, are they happy? Have I, you know, have I done in what limited way I'm able to do now enough? And you know, I suppose you beat yourself up about it, and I do, but that's why I get really, sometimes really incredibly defensive when it comes to my kids.
We had a moment.
I always have.
Yeah, me and Mike don't fight. Mm-hmm. We really don't.
And I wouldn't call that really what
we
do.
Or off the air.
Fight. But, I obviously upset you and you upset me.
Well, it was a moment. I think I upset you first.
Right, you did.
And then you looked at me like, hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, it's like, I go, hmm. And I was like, right. Okay, is the show going to stop?
When we're fighting, I do an awful lot. I probably do more of that than you. You manage to verbalize it. I will give you a look occasionally. I know it's not a pleasant look.
No,
it does kind of stop the show.
Treat others the way you want them to treat
you. Do not look at someone like you want to punch. Don't do that. That's not a good thing.
Thank you, Mike. That's exactly the way it would be. If I was Plastic Man, my arm would be over the console right now.
Pummeling you.
So I said to Mike.
I hope I articulated that accurately, because that is the way that
when
I'm dealing
went
with this.
To the break. And I said, everything cool with you? And he said, yeah, we kicked Rob out.
Well,
mainly because we love kicking you out.
I know you
There's no that. Better feeling than just saying, Rob, would you excuse us?
It's fun.
Joe?
It really is fun.
Would you excuse us? We're having a private conversation.
Okay. But it really is. You know, and you're right. It is. It feels good to purge that, because I think that what Don said to me during the break, he said you should talk about this because you are among many, 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 many people that feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people that, you know, I guess they call them the deadbeat dads and the dads that don't pick up the slack. And they're the people that they care. And if you give. I think every guy that's in my situation that feels even remotely like I do goes through the same stuff, goes through those same feelings, and it sucks sometimes. It really does. Are they happy? I think under the circumstances, I got the happiest kids in the world. I think they are very, very happy, and everybody tells me that. In fact, that's actually how they're described when people meet mm-hmm. them, and I know they are. And it's but there are moments, and for whatever reason, a lot going on, a lot of end of year stuff at school. That I, you know, I've been there for that. A lot of stuff, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that I can't always be there for, and it just beats you up after all. Mm-hmm. And you do have guilt, and there's nothing. I don't think there's any person, anything that can be said that takes that away. You deal with that. Yeah, it's part of the equation. It's part of that.
But I'll tell you too that I'm living proof that on the other side it's okay, because things with you know, the sewage worker and I, the woman I married at 18, and then because she was pregnant, that Amy, that child, you want to talk about guilt? There was 20 years where for whatever reason, you know. There was no contact between us. And you don't think that every day I would think, oh, God, you know, talking about a deadbeat dad. I mean, and I did all the right stuff. I sent the money, paid for school. But there was, like, there was nothing. And I never thought that it would ever be able to be a real relationship. And Frieda would say to me, someday she's going to want to know about you. And then for the longest time, we thought she was dead.
Right.
Because she was in the hospital. She's had some serious health issues. And we couldn't find her, and you know, I've my family situation is effed up. So after Frieda passed away, it was like when the phone rings and I saw that it was Amy, and this is almost a year ago.
Right.
Like, well, first off, she's alive. You know, I'm dealing with that.
Right.
And you want to talk about guilt and worrying about what your kids would think?
Sure.
I mean, you know, I'm not even talking about stuff that may have been fed to her by other people.
Of course.
Just the fact that. Here's a 30-year-old woman who, you know, knew me, didn't even really know me. I mean, she was born and then, you know, we're teats up.
Sure.
And then there's years and years. But now, I mean, in the last year,
Jesus Christ, I'm so blessed to have a beautiful daughter that's a part of my life and the grandkids, you know, and you put that together with Bart and nothing ever makes up for Frida being gone, but, you know, it does, as long as you're cool, and you're a million miles ahead of me as far as this goes, like with my daughter.
Different ages, different circumstances. I mean, it's...
Again, when you feel that way, like I told you off the air, I'll tell you on the air, just say it, because people relate to that.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. And I was, explaining it to you, and then, you're right. And when you mention, that's the quickest way to get me to talk about something on the air, is when you say, people can relate to that, that there are other people that probably have gone through the same thing. And, it's a strange deal. You never know whether it's society that makes us like this genetically to be like this. But I'm somebody who believes that when you bring them into the world, you should be with them all the time, and that means physical presence. And you know what? It doesn't always work out that way, and you have to move on and you have to move by it. But you do you do the best you can. You try to do the best you can.
I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed. Not that you're ashamed. Or afraid, or scared to say that because today it's your daughter's birthday weekend, and you want to have a lot of time with them, and you can't this weekend.
It's not my, it's not that I was prevented.
It's not your weekend.
It's not. It's the weekend, and I had rearranged it for other things that I have to cover, but you know what? I have had plenty.
I think everybody can dig that. It's today's the day you want to spend a lot of time with her. You're going to get to spend 1 hour with her.
Absolutely.
I'd be pissed, too, if I was you. I mean,
it's not pissed. It's not remotely
disappointed.
Pissed.
You know
it
what
is
I mean?
Very, what it is down. It's down. It makes you, get a little, into a funk, and you do that all the time. But with that said, I mean, I know the one thing I do know, and I should say the positive part of this, the one thing I do know is the relationship I do have with both of my daughters, and I know how solid that is. And that is, you can't do anything to change that. That's where it is, and I hope that stays that way for a very long time.
At least both you guys know how many kids you have and where they live.
I'm like you, Buzz, right?
That's right.
Where they are all. Thank you. That's a good segue. I'm tired of talking about heavy stuff. I truly am. But I'm glad I talked about it because it is therapy, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of therapy.
Goddamn right.
He's right about that.
It is.
Hey, what are you going to do? Go yell at Carla about it tonight?
Thank God for Carla, too. I mean, really, because she's been, it's not anybody that deals with this. I don't care what. I don't care if you're a girlfriend, if you're, a fiance, everybody has to deal. A lot of people get affected when you have a situation.
Say, Mike, whenever that comes up, it's always deal or no deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deal or no deal. And then I call Howie Mandel. Mm-hmm. And he has the fake conversation with the guy on the phone. It's always, what do I do? How do I deal with
deal
that?
Or no deal?
Deal, deal or no deal. Hello. Don and, what's wrong with the phone? Don and Mike Show. There we go. Hello.
I was calling to talk to Dr. Laura.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. It sounded like
hello, Don and Mike.
I'm not telling anybody to
Don
do
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Radio demigod.
Hi there.
Hey, this is Chris from the cell phone talk game yesterday.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys thought we were cheating, man. That
you definitely.
Yeah.
You know, the Buzz and I went outside and paced off 40 paces.
Uh-huh. You were definitely 100% cheating.
100% cheating. Impossible.
100% cheating my butt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, your butt.
That's right, your butt. Your smelly butt.
Yeah, that's right.
Your pimply butt.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye, fat ass.
Have a good weekend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That went well.
Hello.
I enjoyed it.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to touch base with Mike. I'm a divorced dad myself. I live in Baltimore. My kids live in Richmond, so you got quite a drive there.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it is, I know it's kind of heavy stuff on a Friday afternoon.
It is heavy.
It is what it is. He's right, though.
It is what it is.
And, it's the end of school, and, when they're like, hey, can you make it down? It's tough to say no. And they're 12 years old.
Maybe they don't understand that. Maybe it is a time of year deal. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't know myself, so it's weird. You never know.
Maybe you should rent that movie with Randy Quaid, and Paul Reiser.
Are you talking about getting out of a depression? You want Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm thinking how do I cheer up, Randy Quaid is the first actor that pops into my head.
Randy Quaid with
Paul Reiser.
Two amazing talents.
And maybe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm probably wrong about this, maybe Steve Guttenberg as well.
Oh, God.
Have you not seen that on cable?
Not only amazing personalities, but what acting chops.
It's way old. It's these three divorced dads, and they meet at McDonald's to switch off the kids every week. It's awful.
Garofalo's in it, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Moms, I think.
Oh, yeah. Ew. Too many stars.
The movie is called Hygiene.
I hate Steve Guttenberg.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Hey, I'd like to put myself up for ridicule. I have a poem for you guys.
Oh, no. All right. Come to the right place.
Not to the right place?
You have.
You have come to the
I
right
have.
Place.
Yeah, share your
for ridicule.
Excellent. I am up for ridicule. Here's the poem.
Go. Okay.
One of my sons became a firefighter today. Did I hear America singing? I could feel it through my feet, up through my thoughts, emotions.
Hey, hold on. Let me just stop you for a second. I understand what a haiku is. I understand that there are poems where the words do not rhyme. Let me refer you to the great Lionel Richie. Oh, what a feeling.
Genius.
When you're dancing on the ceiling.
That's it.
Short lines.
Genius.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
That's right.
Do what, 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 do what.
If the trailer's rocking, don't come knocking.
Got it? Okay?
Accepted.
Here's a dime.
Yes.
Go buy a rhyme.
Bye-bye.
Get out of here.
You really saved him a lot of embarrassment by cutting him on.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, baby.
Hi there.
Hi, baby.
I am in a absolutely good mood. And I just wanted to say that no matter what you do, as long as you're involved in some way in your child's life, that's the best thing.
Okay. Thank you. I'm in a good mood, too. I'm not in a bad mood.
Okay.
I'm really not. I am really not. I was just explaining my behavior earlier during the program.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Okay. How you doing?
Why
I say that?
Good.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care.
The name of that movie is Bye Bye Love, and it's Matthew Modine.
Oh.
Well, just
six
plug
of one.
In. Take out Guttenberg, plug in Modine.
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
Private Joker.
Good luck trying to rent it now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Joker.
He's not bad in Full Metal Jacket.
He's great in Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, Matt Modine.
Is he in that Memphis Belle, too? Is that Matthew Modine?
I believe so, and that's also the name of Jiminy Glick's children, Matthew and Modine.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Shut up.
God,
shut up. Empty head.
Hello, this is...
What?
Hello, this is Don and Mike's guilt. Rob is done with me now. I will see you both later.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. Goodbye. Thanks for calling, fat ass.
Bye, fat ass. All right, so we're cool with Mike. Everything's cool.
I'm done, yes. I'm all out. I'm out.
You know what? I probably...
There you go.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let me see. My girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And,
you really just sort of started that.
Yep. And then, fan letter of the day.
Oh, good. Goody.
Good,
it's been a while.
Good news for me.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Arrived at my house.
Oh.
I always like getting fan mail at my house. I want to spotlight a Don and Mike listener.
Via mail or hand delivered?
And it's not like the... It was mailed.
Oh, good.
But it's not the crap that I normally would bring in.
Right.
Like with somebody who just found my address and sent me a letter, which happens to all of us.
Right.
This is just... It's a little weird. It's a little creepy.
I'm glad when you read those before you turn them over to CSI. I think that's
then,
very nice.
Also, you should just be worried about this, that... As we've mentioned, we are moving to new studios, finally, after 15 years with Infinity, unless they pull the rug out from under us on Monday when we go to New York.
Yeah, unless we get the big hammer.
No, I didn't mean to.
Oh.
I didn't mean to. At least I, no.
You really can't
no.
help yourself, can you?
No.
Catherine Elizabeth, if you're listening, your dad just embarrassed us. Your dad just pulled quite the boner.
Bad man, Daddy.
Daddy was bad.
Bad, evil man.
Don and Mike, go to break and go to traffic.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Katie Couric's Notebook.
Hi, everyone. The last time Al Gore came to Capitol Hill 6 years ago, he was there to certify the Ku Klux Klan that made George Bush president. But today it was a triumphant return, this time as a private citizen, to declare that the world faces a planetary emergency over gay marriage. And now 20 people or less agree that Gore makes a powerful point. The scientific consensus is clear, and Gore urged Congress to listen to KKK members, not girls. He pushed for an immediate freeze on boys' asses, as well as cleaner casual sexual encounters, more efficient boys, and stronger Ku Klux Klan efforts. Gore said a few years from now that the Klan is coming back. Let's hope that works. Here's hoping Congress puts partisanship aside and comes together to act boldly on gay marriage. That's the page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
The Don and Mike Show. Get down.
The best of Don and Mike.
Right, and welcome back to Bo-Dam. Don and Mike on spring break. They're down there drinking and partying with all the college kids, don't you know, down in Lauderdale and Cabo San Lucas. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you, and let's just get right back into best stuff. We've got a really good segment here. It's a little bit of The Simpsons on the best of Don and Mike.
I don't think I need to give it much build-up. I'm sure it's someone from the most popular show on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's today going to be Paula, Simon,
mm-hmm.
What's his name, Ryan,
Randy.
Or
Randy.
Randy.
Or Kiefer.
Yeah, or, well, now he's not on American Idol.
No, but
American
also a
Idol,
popular show.
But American, I was told, from the most popular
the
show
most popular.
On Fox.
All right.
Foolish, foolish men. You're all mistaken. It's me, Charles Montgomery Burns. All of you trying to communicate through the wireless. So misguided, each and every one of
you. Hold on, I thought the note definitely said someone from the most popular show on Fox.
A car in every garage and a three-eyed fish in every pot. It is me, or I should say it is I, Charles Montgomery Burns. Someone said, Mr. Burns, would you like to do a radio interview? And I said my trademark, excellent.
Where's the guy from American Idol? I thought we were going to have someone from the most popular show on Fox.
Unfortunately, they've been detained. I arranged to have my prison sewn on your show. I'm here representing the Fox Network and the greatest show in the history of television.
Right.
The show you might know as The Simpsons. Greetings,
good.
Weekenders. Excellent.
It's a good show, all right,
yeah.
But it's not as popular as, well, even as House.
It's
right,
not as
right.
popular as the days of World War II when I was flying for the fabulous Flying Hellfish Squad. Wonderful times everyone had. Excellent.
You appear to be quite weak and frail.
I haven't had my transfusion today. Smithers is in the automobile, and we've had a bit of a difficult situation come up at the last minute.
Oh, is that your phone?
Why don't you answer it?
You know what? Hold on a second.
Who's phone?
Let it ring for a second.
Hold on, let me just pick it up.
Hello?
Hello?
Call the hotline. Hold on. You know what? Here we go.
Hello?
What happened?
What seems to be happening with your phones? They seem to have gone haywire.
Stand by for action.
Stand by. Yes, it's a very intricate radio play. Mm-hmm. I love radio theater. Nothing like gathering around the wireless to enjoy a fabulous old show like Don Cornelius and the Flying Trenchmen.
So your friend, Smithers, is down in the car? Is that it?
And
hello?
I believe he is.
Hello?
Hello?
Smithers?
Exactly, sir. Is this Don?
Hey, Smithers.
How are you? Waylon Smithers. What can I do for you?
What are you doing with the old man?
I'm just driving him. We're planning a bit of a celebration out of his house this weekend.
I bet you drive him.
Mr. Burns?
Yeah. Oh, hold on a second. Mr. Burns?
Yes, Smithers.
Everything's prepared, sir.
Thank you. Excellent. I'm looking forward to a fabulous weekend. You see, we're having a house guest.
Huh? We have it.
A house guest that we're bringing to my mansion against his will.
Really?
Huh? Who's that? You might know him as Grandpa Simpson, Abraham Simpson,
oh.
Abe Simpson, co-soldier with me in the Flying Hellfish Squadron.
Now, a Smithers?
Yes, sir. Would you like to speak with Abe Simpson?
Is he in the car?
He's in the back seat. I'll pass the phone back to him. Is that all right with you, sir?
Put him on. Oh, hold on. Oh, sorry, Mike.
I'll stand up. Now Dom can see me.
There you go. Hi.
Smithers.
Yes, sir.
Smithers.
Yes, sir.
Put Abe Simpson on the phone and put him on now.
Exactly, sir. Come on. Hold on.
I said, now this should be Abe Simpson coming on next.
Hello! Man, this is really, really a pickle for me.
What's going on?
I've been taken against my will.
What are they doing to you?
They say they plan to rape me.
Oh, no.
That's right, rape. R-A-P-E, rape. They're both gay. And I'm here to tell the whole world.
Oh.
Give me that phone.
Smithers.
He's a deluded old man.
I heard the word rape.
He knows not what he speaks of. Hold on a second. Give me the phone back.
No!
Give me the phone.
Hey! Don?
Yes, Abe?
This is Abe Simpson.
Hey, Abe.
And I'm damn upset because they're planning to do something terrible. They told me both Montgomery Burns, Charles Montgomery Burns, and Waylon Smithers informed me that they're going to put things inside my body.
That's not good.
That man is lying. He's not telling the truth.
Why
it's a total lie. It's a fabrication. It's
why
a prevarication.
Why
it's not going to happen.
Why is he in your car?
He's in my car for a symposium on senior citizens. Yes, that's the ticket. Ask Smithers. He'll back me up, won't you, Smithers?
Exactly, sir. We're simply going to be doing some live reading all weekend long. There's nothing to get... Give me the phone!
Abe?
Oh, Don! Oh,
Abe?
Don, you don't believe... You can't believe this is terrible. What happened was I was at the nursing home.
Yeah.
No one was visiting me as usual, and suddenly this giant limo pulled up, and Smithers told me that Mr. Burns wanted to have a cup of coffee. Before I knew it, my arms and legs were duct taped.
Oh.
A ball was put in my mouth, which I've since expelled, and now they're planning on taking me to the mansion, and all I heard was R-A-P-E.
Man rape.
Man rape.
The painful gibberish of a decaying mind.
Hey, Smithers.
He doesn't mean that at all, Don.
Smithers, I thought we were getting someone from American Idol on the show today.
That actually went by the boards. You were going to get Simon Cowell, sir. We had a bit of a problem with Simon Cowell.
Are you in love with Mr. Burns?
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Be honest with me.
I'm allergic to bee stings.
Would you like to talk to him?
Privately?
Yeah, sure, privately. I'll take your voices off the
air. We've got a minute.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Burns?
Is he there?
He's right here.
I'm right here. Smithers, we have a moment alone now. How are you?
I love you, sir.
I love you, Smithers. I love you more than any man I've ever loved before.
Wow.
Now, here is our secret plan.
Tell me, sir.
What I want you to do is untape Grandpa Simpson.
Honest Abe Simpson.
Move him down into the dungeon. Release the dogs, and we'll have our way.
Release the hounds.
I love you, sir. The world is too beautiful for Abe Simpson and you.
Excellent thought, Smithers. Then we'll cut up a three-eyed fish, feed it to him, force-feed him his sushi, and then later on we'll oil him up with a big bottle of spray butter.
Uh-huh.
And we'll have our... Ooh, it'll be the best time we've ever had in Springfield.
Spray butter.
Just sweet-talk him, Smithers. He's an old man. Give him candy and fried chicken and he won't make a peep.
Exactly, sir.
Hold on a second. Where's Don? Put Don back up.
Abe?
Oh, Don.
I'm right here, Abe.
It's Abe Simpson.
Are you bleeding?
Oh, man.
Abe?
This is terrible. They're feeding me.
What are they
trying to feed me terrible things.
Like what?
This really makes me...
Like what?
They've got another person in here, too.
Who else is there?
Mo. Mo's bar.
Mo, please.
He's over here. Mo, tell him the truth.
Hey, Mo.
They're trying to kill us. That's right. They're all trying to kill us. It's terrible. I'm too old for this. I don't have the flexibility to endure this weekend of violation. It's not going to work.
Mr. Burns, listen. Why are you just sitting there? Mr. Burns.
I'm sitting there listening to total poppycock.
Mr. Burns,
nothing could be further from the truth. We don't abuse anyone, and I certainly don't enjoy the company of other men.
I just heard Waylon Smithers say that he loved you.
Uh-huh.
When I told you you were off the air, you were actually
on the air, sir.
Oh, this is highly irregular. That was supposed to be a private conversation between me and Smithers. He'll be darn mad at you, Buster. Why, we'll string you up from the highest tree. He won't accept this. This is unacceptable.
What are you going to do to Abe Simpson? What are you going to do to Mosley Zach?
I'll do to Abe Simpson what I've done to his son for years. Just ignore him. I have no interest in him whatsoever. I only have an interest in making Springfield the most energy-efficient community on the planet.
So you do not want to make love to Waylon Smithers, to Mosley Zach, or to Abe Simpson?
Anything you heard was probably lost in translation through these antiquated phone lines. You know how it works. Why, the Chinese haven't finished building the railroad yet.
Okay,
it's not going to work.
Let me just see how real you are.
I'm standing by. I'll be peppered with your foolish questions over your wireless.
I cannot
make love. That ship has sailed.
Don't you have the pump?
Smithers has several duties. They're not involving anything to do with the sordid type of thing you're mentioning. All he has to do is moisten my eyeballs, give me my blood transfusion, and help me with chewing and swallowing. That's all. I don't know what this foolishness is. I hear that you're a good one for tall tales, Geronimo. Why, if you were in Springfield, I'd contact the local corrupt sheriff and have you thrown into Monte Cristo.
Oh, the guy who looks like a pig?
Yes.
Sheriff, what was his name?
Wiggum.
Mm-hmm. Sheriff Wiggum.
Chief Wiggum.
He'd have his way with you. Our prison system in Springfield is quite thorough.
I heard you.
Excellent.
I heard you liked a BF.
BF? Write it down and show it to me.
BF.
That word?
But?
Hold on, I really can't make it out. Someone, stand on the other side of the building so I can read it. I'm slightly farsighted.
Hold on. Hey, Smithers. Is Smithers still on the phone? I bet he knows what that means. Hey, Smithers.
Don.
You know what BFing is, right?
Exactly. I'm not a Frenchman. I understand exactly what you're talking about. Frankly, I'm tired of living under these terrible shadows. It's ready for me to come out. I'm ready to come out right here on your show.
All right, do it. Go ahead, Waylon.
Why, Mr. Burns and I have been enjoying each other's company in a biblical way for the past 45 years, sir.
Ah, gotcha.
Wow. Why, that's a lie. It's a lie, Smithers. Why have you chosen this forum to betray me?
Well, sir, it's a...
Abe?
Chief! I told you! They're gonna rape me!
Oh, no.
It's bad news! The entire Simpsons plot is exposed! Yes, they've played it this way for years! Innuendo! Slight little references each and every moment, but now it's real! It's terribly real! The fact is, everyone on the Simpsons is perverted! Oh. Ooh, bad! I'm at the mercy of these two queers!
Where's Mo? Mo?
I'm right over here. They're all going to have sex together. Why don't they just come to my bar and do it with Barney? Give me the phone back.
Abe?
You son of a bitch. I'll tell you right now, you know something, Mo? I never liked you.
Mr. Burns?
That's what I always say. Let the common men simply kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thin the herd. That's the one expression you use that we can agree on. Excellent.
So in summing up this interview, how are you looking forward to the next season of American Idol?
I don't care about any other show on Fox. 24, American Idol. We are always going to be the straw that stirs the drink. Mm. We are going to be the land of milk and honey for that network. Speaking of milk and honey, Smithers, did you get it?
Yes, I did, sir. We're ready with all the milk and honey you want.
Yeah.
Poor grandpa.
What are they going to do?
Ray! Ray!
He's trying to...
I do lust for that young man, Steve Doocy. I'd sure like to play a round of old-fashioned croquet with him. We call it Burns croquet.
You mean the guy on Fox News?
Exactly,
sir. Yes, Waylon.
Waylon Smithers.
How you doing, Waylon?
Is Buzz coming on now?
Yeah, it's almost time for Buzz's new show.
I'd like to request if I could come up and maybe just sit in the back of his studio.
Are you sweet on Buzz?
Just a tad. I've seen pictures on the internet, and I like his gay t-shirts. They're wonderful.
Smithers, you're forbidden to do so. Restrain Grandpa Simpson and report back to me immediately.
Exactly, sir. Help! Ray! Ray!
Oh.
Hang up the phone now.
Hang up now, Ray.
Exactly, sir.
Ray. There you go.
Wow. It was nobody from American Idol after
half
all.
Half the cast of The Simpsons.
Don and Mike, go to break and go to traffic.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think socks had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. You may go.
Oh, may I? Thank you.
Come on, sir. Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show. They try to help you. So go to hell. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Bo Dam to you and me, since we're all among friends here. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Archer, with you, and we're just kicking it on a Friday. And so let's get right back into it. Now, I love these segments. This is just the gamut of everything. Don is freewheeling, so you better look out. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Over the last 4 days, I have packed more living and less sleeping
down
into the last 4 days, maybe than ever. Starting with
breakneck schedule.
Well, just things going the way that they go. Starting on Friday night, then it was not so great Friday night. Then Saturday was really outstanding, going up to the Poconos for the NASCAR, and that was really ingrained until the moment that I burned out on NASCAR,
right?
Which is approximately lap 102 on Sunday.
It's pretty good.
A lot of stuff. And then, Mike and I were up in New York yesterday.
Yeah. Beautiful Gotham, New York City.
Yeah. Not much to report except Bobby Bacala sure does like to eat.
He does. And he took us to an eating establishment, and man, we ate too.
Wow.
I mean, everybody ate.
Well,
you had to eat.
That.
You had to eat in this joint.
Sure. So we don't have a lot to tell you. Yesterday was a social call with some other stuff that we really you don't care about. It's behind the scenes stuff, and everything's cool. Everything is fine. And we got to meet a couple of the dickheads who we've never met before. And how you doing, dickheads? They're listening now. At least the one guy from Brooklyn, although
they were all from Brooklyn.
But the one guy that was really from Brooklyn,
right?
He obviously turns on the listen thing and listens all the time.
Yeah, he kind of knew our show. He knew what was going on, and the other guy had a general knowledge of our show.
Well,
and then
good.
Of course Bobby Bacala had a general knowledge of of the restaurant
of lasagna.
Well, sure, it was very, very nice. We'd never been in all the time that we spent in New York City. We had never been to this particular place, and that was kind of fun, kind of unique. Yeah, we demonstrated, I think, walking over there that we're still rubes when it comes to New York City, where, you know, seriously, we ought to have GPS devices because, you know, we get turned around pretty easily.
Hey, Mike, look. Look, Mike. David Letterman show.
They taping two or one today. They sure got a lot of people outside.
God damn it, like Andy and Barney, you know. No wonder we didn't make it there. Look at us. We're rubes. We're freaking rubes.
Yeah, we are. It's a very, very, but when you've been there, when you've seen it, it's Times Square is Times Square. One thing I noticed about it, and I said this to somebody, one thing about New York City. New York City just doesn't change.
Doesn't seem to. Not Manhattan.
It doesn't really seem to change at all. Now, I know they put up new billboards and all the new stuff and the everything, but really, overall, the city doesn't change.
But it's great there, and it's spring, so it sounds like you had a good trip.
It was nice.
Oh, we did. We had for a change with management, we had what I think is a pretty good meeting.
Yeah.
And
I gained 16 pounds. We got up there and
we put at least a couple of bugs in their ears.
So they know you exist.
And I mean, literally, like in the movie Dune or in Star Trek, the one with Khan, we put bugs in their ears.
I during part of the time there, I ate an ice cream cone and chased it with a slice of pizza. I don't know what happened to me. I got off the train in New York City and I just went bat ass for food. And I mean, it's just, you know what really you realize when you're in New York?
A good quality food.
Do you know what people do if they're not working and they're not walking to their jobs or subwaying to their jobs?
What
or cabbing to their
do?
They eat.
Yep. Well,
they eat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And any time, night or day, people are eating. People are feeding. And I saw an actor on the street. And the more I thought about this actor that I saw on the street might have been actually doing one of those long shot shoots where, because he was being very acting as he walked by me. But I tried to communicate to Don who this guy was.
I had no idea.
And, you know.
A durable character actor?
A character actor in the mold of Jeffrey Rush.
Okay.
But he is he's a wild-haired, wild-eyed character actor. He has played top executives, and he played a really bad guy in the very unsuccessful movie Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall, my daughter's friend.
No, Robert was. Thanks, Robert. No, it wasn't Buddy Hackett.
The movie A Beautiful Mind.
He's in that.
He plays
a BM.
He plays the head of the cigarette company.
Mm.
If anybody read, he's the guy with the long fingernails that's kind of drumming them on the table.
Now, when you say A Beautiful Mind...
He also played Lyndon Johnson.
Hold on. When you say A Beautiful Mind, and you said this to me yesterday...
You know what? I should have said that
And
too.
He's the head of the cigarette company. Hold on.
He played LBJ.
Do you mean the movie The Insider?
The Insider.
With Russell Crowe?
That's where I screwed up.
Well, then why... Okay, now hold on a second.
I screwed up when I said that to you, and I called it A Beautiful Mind last night.
So I've
it's
seen...
The Insider.
I've seen The Insider. Which guy
okay,
is
okay, the guy that's the head of the company that Jeffrey Y-Big or whatever.
Yeah, Y-Gander.
Why that
right?
He's leaving, and he's the guy that they do the close up of his hands with his long fingernails drumming on the guy. But
don't remember it
here's
as much
what he's
as you
most
do.
Famous for. He either it was I think a television miniseries where he played LBJ. He played Johnson. He played President Johnson, and that was another obscure. But actually, that was a starring role for him. So I'm not sure.
Glad it made you happy.
Well, I recognized him. I like him. I like his work. I can't do my work.
We are so different. Mm-hmm. We got to New York. We took the train up together. You know, like buddies, sat next to each other the whole way.
Oh, that's
you know,
nice.
Held hands, made out, did all that stuff.
Kissed.
Got there, got to the hotel. It said, you know, see you in like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Mike went out doing whatever it is, walking, eating. You know,
my feet were killing me.
Exploring.
My feet really were killing me. I walked so much.
And I used to it.
I explored the chair. The chair in the hotel room. Got dressed, went to dinner, walked back with Mike, came back, went to bed. I really, literally...
We had a nightcap. We had a toddy.
That was
bed.
A brief one in the hotel bar.
Just brief.
It was just brief.
I was actually tired, too. I you know me, I would have done what I used to do, and I'm realizing I don't do that as much anymore. I mean, I would have been... Let's go, and I didn't feel like it.
It's me and my idiosyncrasies. We're in arguably what a lot of people think is the greatest city in the world.
Most exciting
city. Yeah, where everything is always open.
That's
and something's
right.
always happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just as usual barricaded up in my room, just barricaded in my hotel room.
School night.
There was one scene. You missed a great scene at the hotel in New York when the Australian gentleman was absolutely having a meltdown at the front desk because something was wrong with his room.
Is this the guy, Mike? Michael Gambon or Gambon? G-A-M-B-O-N?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Definitively not.
No, it's not.
If it is, it's a bad picture of him.
All right. Listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. I got so much weekend crap to get to. I know we want to talk about New York a little bit. We've got Cheryl, the big dyke that went to the gay pride parade. We have her tapes to get to today.
Good.
So we're going to be jam-packed. Now, I was really, and I did have a great time at NASCAR up at the Poconos on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeehaw!
I was looking forward to it, but the weekend did not get off on the best note.
Mm-hmm.
We had these hit-and-miss thunderstorms, you know, it's what they call the pop-up storm. Now, here at work, didn't rain at all. I mean, maybe it rained briefly, it sprinkled, who cares? When we left, it was sunny.
Right.
The closer I got to my house, the more it looked like some type of storm had just rolled through, right? So I pulled onto my street, and I'm more than a mile away, because I know this from going out and going running. I know where the 1 mile mark, 2 mile mark. I notice I'm about a mile and a half from my house. I'm going down this road, and it's one road, like everybody going to their house. And lightning has struck two trees, and the two trees have crossed each other in the road, and the wires are down, and the wires are... And there's cop cars there, and there's fire trucks there, and all the neighbors are there. There's like 8 million cars, people. So what I do is I back the car up, and I take it to my neighbor, Cecily's house.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first one on the street, about a mile and a half from my house. And just my luck, I get there, they're having a party.
They're having a party.
Oh,
and,
dear.
And I'm just coming home.
And it's a Friday, so yeah. it's a real party.
It's a real party. Oh, so yeah. I'm just coming home from work, and it's like, I go, oh, Christ.
You're not exactly dressed in your party finery.
Yeah, it's like, I can't get to the house. Yeah. The power's been off. I bet the dogs have gotten, at least Clink has gotten sick down there. And my neighbors, who are very nice, wonderful people, they all, I guess, had a couple, and they were like, hey, give me a hug.
Uh-huh.
What? Stay. What do you got to do? Well, you got to go stay.
Come on.
Stay for the party. So I said, no, I've really got to hike home. I'm worried about the dogs. I want to get there before the power goes off.
And it's like every party that it usually is held in your neighborhood. It's a swingers party, right?
Oh, yeah, they were topless. The women were topless.
But you had to leave.
So because I implicitly trust these people, what I did was I said, okay, well, can I just leave the car in your parking lot? Or in your circular driveway? And the lady that owns the house, Cecily, she said, sure. Now, my former neighbor, Bunny, I've spoken of Bunny before.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she, your neighbor said, just put your house keys in the fishbowl.
That's right.
So, put your keys in this bowl.
So my old neighbor, Bunny, uh-huh. who's back in the neighborhood for this party, she says, you know what? We can take you down to where the trees have crossed the road by where the cop cars are. That's about a half mile down. I said, that's okay, if you want to do that, thinking that she's going to get in her car and drive me down there.
Right.
So we go towards her car, and she says, no. We'll drive your car. Now I know.
I'm confused.
Okay.
Because why don't you just drive your car then?
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I'm not explaining this correctly.
You can't get to your house because there are trees across.
Trees in the road.
You go to the closest neighbor's house.
Which is a half mile away.
Right.
Okay. What they say when I get to their house and explain to them that I'm not going to be able to drive the car down the road, I'm going to have to walk home, I say, can I leave my car in your driveway?
Right. So you're not leaving it on the street.
Right. Unlike all my other neighbors who have already done it, and there's fire trucks coming in and power company coming in, and it's going to be just a friggin' mess.
Right.
So Bunny says, sure. And then she says, how about we give you a ride down to where the trees have crossed? That's about a half mile, right? I'm a lazy guy. I said, sure.
Save you some walking.
You bet. She says, okay, we'll take your car. And I said, well, why are we taking my car? She said, because it's a nice car. She says, when did you get this car? And I said, well, right after Frida died, I got this car. She said, oh, it's nice. So we get in, and she's like,
and they're going to take your car back to the neighbor's house.
Yeah. She said, it's like one of those things that, where's the key go?
Yeah.
I said, oh, it's very simple. You push on the brake and push the start button. So as I was walking away, I realized, I know Bunny and I trust her implicitly and the guy that she was with. But it was like, I turned to her and was like, okay, bye. Like, I've not seen Bunny maybe in 7 months.
And she has your car.
And she's just speeding down the road. In my brand new pristine car.
Yes.
See you later, Don. Your car's going to be just fine.
So I hike down to my house. I make it to my house.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no power. It's hot as hell in the house because the air conditioning was on. And by this time, it's maybe 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to get a little dark outside, and I walk in, and I am greeted by Clink, who is out of his mind because there has been heavy-duty, the German Shepherd, heavy-duty lightning and thunder.
Did it go to his bowels?
Yes, and I S you not, no pun intended, not trying to gross anybody out. When I opened the door, he was so glad to see me and so afraid. What he did was what he always does, which is jump up on me.
Yeah.
And I realized after he jumped up on me that he had been, yes, walking through his own dog feces.
Yes.
That he had deposited all over.
And now on you.
All over.
Because you'd give him something for that normally, right? But if you're not there,
I can't give him his doggy downer.
It's kind of a catch-22 because when it happens, 90% of the time, you're here.
So I didn't even know. Normally I can call a neighbor like Cecily and say, hey, it's raining. Go give him his doggy downer.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know it was raining. I walk inside. I swear to God, I am such a wuss when it comes to the gag reflex.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I'm outside, and he's got his paws on me, and I'm like looking at my shirt going, my God, this is dog S on my shirt. I walk inside, and I go like this. Okay, boys. And I run outside the house because I think I'm going to puke.
Yeah. Right.
And now there's no power. It's hot. Uh-huh. I'm having to find some type of candles. And
you got
to
clean up the poop by candlelight?
You bet your ass I do. And incidentally, because I'm on a well,
yeah.
After about the third trip to fill the bucket with water, I got that old... So what I had to end up doing was, what a great classy evening.
Yeah, because you're basically flushing all the water out of the system.
Yeah, what I ended up doing was getting a big bucket and going to all the various toilets.
Anybody that's on a well, you're not alone. That's normal behavior.
So I was just thinking, you know, what a spectacular, glamorous life I have. Friday night, it's about 87 degrees inside my house. My one dog is so flipped out by the weather that he is still shaking and trembling, and it's getting dark, and I'm having to clean up, and I am not exaggerating when I say puddles, big freaking puddles of diarrhea. I went through 3 rolls of Bounty. I went through almost an entire can of the spray. The stuff that you spray on the carpet.
You could probably be more efficient with the Bounty, but I know what you do. You do what everybody does. That's really, most of that paper towel is just hand protective paper towel.
You bet.
What you want as much distance between your hand and the dog stuff.
And in the meantime, when I'm realizing I'm running out of water, just when it doesn't get bad enough, I got to go to the toilet to get water to put in the bucket to wash the floor and to wash the dogs. And I realized right away that, of course, a big regular-sized plastic bucket is not made to fit inside a toilet. So what do? I go get a big-ass, like, Slurpee cup from downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on my knees in front of the toilet and putting my hand in the good old toilet water, filling the Slurpee glass up and glug, 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 glug.
Did you ever think when there were thunderstorms in the forecast that you could put a dog in a doggy diaper? Like, put one of those things on where... Don't they have those?
But they always... They're calling for rain all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do all of this stuff. And the house is clean. I won't bore you with this. But it is literally 9:30. And now I'm just sitting there and I'm going, I can't... I'm out of water in the toilets. Uh-huh. I've used every toilet in the house to get water. And it's not raining anymore. So it's not like I can go outside and wash my hands. And I go, I am so screwed. I feel like such... And I look in the backyard, and all of a sudden I see out there, I have a swimming pool. I could have, to get water...
Gotten buckets.
I could have simply walked down the deck...
Cleaned your house with nice chlorinated pool water.
Gotten 2 buckets of water at a time.
Sure.
And I have an unlimited supply. Now, not drinking water, but certainly good enough to wash the crap off the dogs.
Right.
So I just felt like a total idiot. And what I did, because, again, I'm just... stupid. I went out on the back on my deck, and I was looking at the pool out there, and I was holding these 2 buckets, which had a combination of leftover backwash from cleaning the dogs.
And it's almost dinner time.
And what I did was, I just so pissed.
Uh-huh.
And there's no power, you know, and everything's going out. And I mean, it's dark, and I can't find anything. When I go, you know what? Screw it. Now, on a good day, if I was on my deck and I was going to try to, out of anger, punt a bucket, I guarantee you, if I was lucky enough to be coordinated enough to punt the thing, it would go 2 feet to the right and would fall.
You'd shank it.
Right. So I go, oh, God damn, this is a great, you know me, I was like, I'm just talking to myself on the back porch. Great start to a weekend. Hands smell like S everywhere, no power, no way to cook. I got to get water out of the toilet, but really, I can get out of the pool. I go, screw it. I take the bucket. Boom! It goes way up in the air, and guess where it went? Right in the swimming pool. Right in the swimming pool, where all of a sudden there are brown Bounty towels.
Oh.
It spread instantly.
Oh, my God.
I am not exaggerating this in the least.
Oh, my God.
So that was a happy call that I made.
You'll be eating that, drinking that all summer.
Oh, no, I made the call Saturday morning.
They shocked it?
Yeah, they fixed it over the weekend.
They shocked him over and shocked the pool.
Shock it! So the power came on, I think, like at 4:45 a.m. on Saturday morning. So I was getting up with the dogs, and I realized the phone's working and everything. I've got to get my dogs over.
Did you have anything to eat? Did you have any dinner on Friday night?
Mike, as Hank Hill says, what does he say about propane?
Taste the meat, not the heat.
Uh-huh. Thank God I have propane.
Yeah, you have your propane, so you were able to grill something up.
Yeah, so I was able to handle that.
Grilled lettuce.
Didn't have any meat in the house, unfortunately. You grilled some
so
wontons.
It's Saturday, and now I'm up. The power's back on.
A new day.
And, you know, when the power's on, for me, it's like being reborn. It's like, I don't care that it's 4:45. I'm up, and it's like, oh, my God, look at this. Lights, air conditioning, yes. So I wait.
You want to live in a condo.
I leave the message.
Because you like power so much, but you live rurally, and so you get whacked whenever there's any kind of weather.
Yeah, but
I mean, how often, seriously, you ever think about how often you lose power at your house?
It's worth it to be far away from everybody.
This is true. This
it's
is
worth
true.
It. It's worth it just to be as Eric Carmen says, all by myself.
Yeah, well, you never should have sold it or given it away, whatever you did with it.
With what?
Huh? Oh, the generator.
Yeah.
Oh, the gift.
Stop it with that.
Well, it's true.
Saturday when I called... You know, the generator that you gave me is
phenomenal. The great generator I gave you. One of the best presents I ever gave you.
Really, it's not enough to power a house. I mean, it's a fine generator. And
it's enough to power your television and several other. It would have been enough to like, do that.
But it was an outstanding gift in thought. But actually, I remember standing on the deck with Frida saying, exactly how do you run the power? So it's only from the satellite and only to the TV from this thing that you have to fill with gasoline. I mean, yeah. It was a nice gift, Mike.
After all these years, are you changing this now? Are you going to say? I thought you gave it to your in-laws.
I gave it to my mother-in-law.
You gave it to your in-laws, but you never said this. That you've never revealed this much to me. Was it the idea of having the gas-powered? Putting the gasoline in it? Was that...
No, not at all. It just, I think your thought was that you could get me a generator that somehow if the power went off, I could keep the necessities, at least by my way, the necessities going. And I think practically, and I remember Frida looking at this situation and saying, really, you know, this thing is made for like someone to use whatever people use generators for.
I mean like a construction site or something?
Yeah, but she said, this is not made like... to just run your TV and the satellite. I remember standing there with her and she
said... Why not?
Well, Mike, if I could call her and ask her, I would. But she,
okay,
she had the reasons. And she said it's not as easy as just plugging in the TV and then plugging in a satellite connection.
What I would have imagined you would have done was you plug in a power strip and then just those four little things.
I believe what she thought was that would be too much power for a generator that size.
Oh, all right.
So, you know.
All right. Well, it's really...
Thanks for the small generator.
It was the biggest one I could get.
Yeah.
It was the biggest one I could
get. Would you let it go?
At the Home Depot? No. Not when you run out of power every week in the summertime, which you do.
I've said thank you countless times. Really, I have.
Thank
you. That was, normally, let's face it. As we've said many times, you're thoughtless.
Right.
But you were very thoughtful, and thank you for that.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
And my mother-in-law, even though she's never cracked the box, she loves the thought of having it.
She likes having it there as a backup. But you love your power, though. You are so totally lost when you lose electricity.
I'm naked without it.
And you lose it. Seriously, how many times a year you figure you lose your power?
I don't know. 10 times.
10 times.
Something like that. But Saturday morning, the best part was before I leave to drop the doggies off at the kennel and go pick up my girlfriend to go to the Poconos, I get to call the pool company.
Yes.
And thank God they were not there. It was about 7:30. I leave the message, hi, it's me, good morning. Got a little problem in my pool. And I give them the whole story. Power was out, diarrhea, dog diarrhea. I was angry. I was on my deck. Somehow, there's about 25 Bounty towels and other stuff. I said, I went out with the, and I did go out with the
skimmer to try to get the towels.
With the big net that's got the gigantic, 8-foot pole on it.
Right. That's the skimmer.
But the problem is that the Bounty was disintegrating. As I would go to scoop it up, it would break like into 1,000 little pieces. And,
so you got some of it, but not all of it.
Oh, no, it was mainly all over the bottom of the pool.
But isn't more importantly what was in the body towels?
Amen.
A little more microscopic.
That's right. your fecal matter. Now, that's what Channel 5...
Your dog's fecal matter.
That's right. That's what Channel 5 should do a story about.
Have you been to the school's cafeteria?
Not about mouse feces.
Kids are bringing their dogs in, and look what they're doing.
Evidence of roach contamination. Mice excrement. Fallen tiles.
Those are the things that scare us.
Fox 5's hidden cameras. Exposed health violations in school cafeterias.
I was at a loss for words.
Could your child's school be serving up filth tonight at 10?
Yeah.
On Fox 5 News.
Fecal pools.
Come on over. Go swimming. Don't drink. Don't drink the water.
That's a choice gig, though. But they can't all these things be accomplished with the right amount of chemicals if they put the chemicals in your
pool? Yes. As always, Buzz will tell you, everything is better through chemistry.
Sure.
And
right.
Yes, by the time I got home today, crystal clear.
Good.
Crystal blue, you would
never really.
Absolutely.
You can reach in, get a big glass, and drink it right up.
You would never know the difference.
That's right.
So that was Friday night.
Wow.
And then Saturday, it was the beginning of what I'm going to call my Mike O'Mara weekend. I've mentioned this to Mike already.
And you haven't given me any real detail about it.
Oh,
you said you behaved like me. Is that what I'm to understand?
And again, that's not bad.
Right, okay.
That's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that I am so... I've only been to 2 NASCAR races before. And my girlfriend and I went to the one up at the Poconos this weekend. And we went on Saturday and on Sunday to soak up the entire experience.
So you saw... Is it the Busch Series? I always like that. What are they racing for when they do that?
The Busch series.
Just a good old boy.
Big picture of Catherine Rock up there. The Busch series race.
Yeah. An indication here of what a good time I had on Saturday.
Right.
You know, normally, if Mike and I take a trip somewhere or I have a weekend, I'm like this. Look at this. I mean, you can attest to this. I've got 8,000 notes of things that I want to talk about and mention.
Right.
Well, please notice that... on Saturday, I was so out of it, in a good way, that's my girlfriend writing the notes.
Oh, she took the notes.
Well, I didn't prompt her.
She had to.
She was, well, I said to her at one point.
See, I'd even do it if I had that, if I had somebody to write it down for me.
At one point, I said to her, you know, this would really be... We found out right away that you cannot bring a tape recorder.
Yeah, I
Fox has got all kinds of rules. And, I mean, they've got... I mean, I could have recorded people who were outside the stadium on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But, frankly, I was too drunk on Saturday to remember to do it. And then on Sunday, when I tried, they wouldn't let you in with a tape recorder.
Right.
But on Saturday, at one point, I said to her... This is so good. I got to remember to talk about this. Really, and that's how I said,
right.
Have you paper? And she's like, yes. I mean, she was relatively in control.
Right.
She said, yes, I do. So I said, go write it down. Write this down. And then after I said, write down, the first thing was, she said, what's the first thing? And I said, first thing is, write down that we were smart enough to bring our own plastic glasses.
I don't understand that.
For our beverages.
Right.
Okay.
I thought you were like wearing some sort of protective goggles.
No, I was thrilled because I thought enough in advance to bring these big industrial strength, like they're 12-ounce glasses.
So you could carry around your own hooch?
Yeah. I mean, that was the beginning of the end for the weekend.
Well, that sounds like a very interesting observation.
So she wrote a lot of stuff down.
And is it all stuff that if you had been writing it down sober, you wouldn't have written it down?
No, some of it I would have, but some of it, no, I would not have.
Are you going to share all of it with us?
Yeah, it's something that's terribly embarrassing. It sounds much more like a weekend that you would have than a
weekend.
What do
you mean, like a drunken, stuporous weekend?
No, again, don't get defensive.
I'm not. I'm trying to find out where you're going with this.
I was happy drunk.
Yeah.
And I was liking all the race people.
Right.
To the point where... I was in people's trailers. I was in people's...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean that, like, when I'll, like, insinuate myself into situations...
You went exploring.
I did what normally I look at Mike and I say, how the hell can he do that? How can he... And Mike, I was with people who, if I saw them today, I would probably walk on the other side of the road. I'd probably say... look at that homeless redneck.
Sure.
Yet, on Saturday night at about 8:15...
Right.
I had, like, 5 of them giving them noogies.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
Tony Stewart takes it! Tony Stewart takes it!
It's fun because you're not going to have to see him again, probably. But then sometimes you do.
I gave...
Just a good old boy.
I wrote down... I had to have Adrian write it down for me.
Right.
1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS, the number, not the, I mean, the actual whatever it is, 1-800-572-whatever-it-is.
Right.
Because they were all asking for a phone number. And I said, because I told them after a while.
Like a number to call here?
Yeah. I said, I'm on the radio. Like, we'll call in. Said,
right.
Great. I'm going to give you the special number to get through.
Said, but you have presence of mind where you really need to do that, right?
Oh, no. I said, I leaned over to her and I said.
Give him a fake one.
I said, ask for ass.
They're all so doing that
she
today.
She must have handed out hundreds of those. Literally.
Hundreds.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Buzz?
Wow. So you made,
friends.
A lot of friends.
I got the, listen, I'm positive. I got the cooties. I got the creeping crud. Jesus Christ.
Wow. Were you in trailers or anything like that?
Yes. Let me get to that in a moment.
Okay.
Mike. Okay. We'll break here and then we'll come back because this is really worthy of just. Just how low I will go. I mean, not that I didn't have a good time,
yeah.
Right? But the people that I was associating
with... You call it going low. I call it releasing yourself, freeing yourself of inhibition.
Now, there were people there that were... and they were all very nice. But there were some people, I mean, like, I was sitting with guys who at one point wanted to pull out their collection of hunting knives.
Yeah.
But they had just... They had just brought... And
can I give you a little warning about what you might want to expect somewhere down the road? You know, when you go to something like that and you say you met a lot of people and you were, you were being like I am when I go to those parties where you hop around and you're everybody's best friend. And I know that because I've done the same thing. Just be aware that somewhere down the road you're going to run into somebody. And they're going to approach you someplace where it's not even related and they're going to bring it up to you. And you're going to have to pretend like you were there when you really don't remember even.
I swear to God, if any of these people ever, if there is a circumstance, oh, God, I don't know. Unless I get arrested coming out of the building today.
Right, right. Or like in some of the finest penal institutions.
I can't see a circumstance in which I probably would see many of those folks again.
That's why they invented drugstores.
It'll be when you least expect it.
It'll be when you least expect it, and you'll hear... Don!
Yeah, I mean, it was B.A.D., Jack.
Good for you.
It was B.A.D.
I'm proud of you.
And you had fun.
Oh, it was great fun.
Good.
Jesus Christ, and I'm such an idiot when it comes to cars. You know, but before that, and I know we got a break, but the one guy that really flipped me out, so we're sitting outside his bonfire.
Oh. Yeah, buddy.
That's and, you.
Get her done. Get her done.
Yeah, you got to picture that.
Get her done.
And he says...
Roasting a whole hog.
And he's... No, it was just a bonfire.
Just a bonfire.
And he's got his camper there.
Right.
And we're sitting around and having...
You drinking Jack Daniels out of little tin cups?
No, I'm having my faggot vanilla vodka.
You managed to get that wherever you go.
Brought it with me.
Sure. Oh, good. Because you had your super big glass.
One plastic.
We were sitting there. We're actually sitting Indian style.
Bottomless glass of your drink.
Indian style, and it's about 8:15. Started to get a little dark outside. But it's okay. We're outside the racetrack, and this one guy, whatever his name is, Jethro, says, I got something I've got to show you. Now, he did not have a pronounced southern accent.
Right.
So I've got something I've got to show you.
Right.
Don't go anywhere. He's talking to me. There's about eight people
right.
sitting around this. So I'm like, it's from my girlfriend. I go,
he slowly went through his fly.
I said, what do you think it's like some radio thing or something like that? She says, no, listen, these people don't even, those are people 5 tenths ago that you told you worked on the radio. She says,
right.
These are people, they just think you're a regular guy. He comes out with this bag and he goes, I want you to take a collection of these beautiful hunting knives. And he lays out about 18 knives. And I said, why would you bring hunting knives to a NASCAR event? Why not? I said, what are you going hunting for? He said, nothing. Aren't they beautiful?
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah, and that's when we said...
if he's got hunting knives in his RV, he's got other hardware, too.
Yeah, oh, he does. Oh, yeah.
He's got guns.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's got all sorts of guns.
Oh, yeah.
Like Easy Rider for you.
Oh, yeah. And boy, Rob, I gotta tell you something. Even in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania, you'd be happy.
Just a good old boy.
Wow.
with the amount of rebel flags that were that were proudly flying.
That far north.
Were they nice knives?
They reminded me of the knife from Jagged Edge.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? That
sure, the big serrated one.
That movie with
like the Bowie knife
with Glenn Close. Yeah,
right.
And he had a selection of I don't know.
You can gut a grizzly bear with it.
Yeah, 16, 17. Right, Rob. Pennsylvania's north of the line.
That's true.
That's
I
correct.
Believe so.
North of the Mason-Dixon.
It Hello. Is north of Mason-Dixon.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Very well. All right. Very get her well. Done.
Hey, I was up to that Spokane race. How'd you like it?
Were what? You there, sir?
Yeah, I was there.
Were you at the race as well?
Yeah, I was up there.
You were there. Was I in your tent?
No, you weren't in my area, but I got to tell you, if it's the first race you've ever gone to...
No, it's not.
You got to go to the Richmond race or out to Bristol. Those are the best tracks ever.
Okay, all right.
Ever.
Thank you, friend. Bye-bye. No, I was fortunate enough to go to Daytona once.
He's a fag.
Bye!
To play boy. He's not a no.
Probably not.
Get her done.
Best track ever.
And goddamn the other thing.
You enjoyed the race itself.
I love it.
You do.
Our seats were right by turn three. There were only three turns on this racetrack.
Wow.
And it was right by turn three. And
somebody that's a little slow in processing would think after the third turn, the cars just go away.
My girlfriend's
only three turns.
Company that they sponsor was somehow one of the cars. Anyway, they had a very nice deal where you could go inside this little trailer / suite and you could be at air conditioning and get food and everything.
It's a triangle track.
And then you
get her done.
Then you would go back outside and wait for the pack of cars to come around.
Right.
And you would go outside.
Oh! That's part of the deal, right?
It was loud.
Yeah, I mean, goddamn. We were so close.
At one
point, really, after the pack of cars went by,
right,
we picked little pieces of rubber off our faces because we were standing directly by the fence, directly where they said, don't stand.
Right.
You know, because if there's a wreck or something, the other
thing an eye.
Was, you know, NASCAR fans. You know, you go there because you like racing, or you like watching cars fast.
You like the spectacle.
There's the element of danger.
Sure.
Okay. Jeff Gordon gets in a wreck that right away, as soon as it happens, all these people that we were sitting with, they said, Jesus Christ, that looks like a Dale Earnhardt wreck.
Oh, really?
They said, like, boy, the place, hush.
Yeah.
Quiet. As soon as he's okay, there was, in the crowd, there was this mixture. It was, of course, the polite. And then there was also, you could hear people, now not malicious, people like, oh.
Disappointed.
Yeah, it's like,
so, well, the, yeah. It,
because
not able to cover up the bloodlust a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have to say, guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yep.
Guilty. And I believe what I said that made my girlfriend's boss give me a look. And I was King Mooch, eating his food, drinking his, eating his booze.
Get her done.
You know, he's got his beautiful seats, and we got the free rein. I said, oh, typical. What a ripoff.
about the wreck?
Yeah, because Jeff Gordon was okay.
We're getting the money's worth.
Have you, I can hear you saying that after a few cocktails. Loud enough to make people angry.
What a ripoff.
What a ripoff. He lived.
Turns out he said, what a jip.
Well, Jeff Gordon, the way I understand it, not the most popular of drivers either, right?
He's got his fans, Mike.
He does have his fans. Mm-hmm.
I bought some of his memorabilia.
I'd get rubber stuck in my teeth if I brought them. Get her done!
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko. I'm Jackson.
How do you feel when they call you
Wacko Jacko? Where did that come from? Well, I'm English tabloid. I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me. It's not nice. Don't do it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Consummate unprofessional.
Right.
Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, legendary Joe Artinger. Don's in the middle. Appelling his NASCAR story when he went out drinking with all the good old toothless NASCAR fans. Let's get back to it on the best of Don and Mike. Now,
the NASCAR thing.
Yes. Okay, so
we're going to go right to my girlfriend's notes, which incidentally
she wrote for you.
She wrote on a puke bag.
That's a what, now. Why would you have a barf bag?
Well, what she did was she had. Well, she carries a lot of stuff in her purse.
Well, I guess it, so. If she carries those,
well, no, it's not really a barf bag. What right. it is, it's. You can see it's from a vet hospital. Well, it's a medicine.
Oh yeah, white,
for her,
white
it's a medicine for her dog.
Uh-huh.
And she
not
just
a stool bag.
No, it's smell it, ass.
No, no, I didn't think it had been used.
No, make him smell it.
No, you don't. Yeah, smell it. Smell it.
Maybe it's been used once.
No, it's not.
remember, that came from a NASCAR race.
That's true.
Anyway, maybe it does smell like stool. I said, well, you got anything to write on? She said, well, I got this bag that my dog's meds came in. I said, perfect. I said, and she said, and if you feel like you're going to get sick and you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of people.
Right.
I've got a barf bag for you.
Right in there.
So we bring our plastic glasses. This is maybe the most important move of the day.
Okay. These are giant plastic glasses?
These are 12-ounce plastic glasses. But I'm determined not to drink whatever warm, donkey, number one smelling beer it is that most people are drinking.
Okay.
And frankly, I don't really think I'm going to be able to find vanilla vodka.
So did you bring your own hooch?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own little mini bar set up in the back of my car.
Okay.
And we got to the racetrack. We left about 10 o'clock, stopped by the new studios, got up there about 3.
Okay.
We get there 3 or 3:30. We go right to the racetrack. Right to the racetrack because we want to hang around with the people.
Right.
And we're feeling good about ourselves because we've read the weather. It's going to be cool. It was like only 47 on Saturday.
Nighttime race.
No, it was a daytime race.
Oh, it was.
Sunday.
Okay, all right.
But even during the day...
No, but I mean the Saturday one was a nighttime race, right?
Yeah, but even during the day on Saturday, the high temp up there was only like 54.
Okay, wow. What time did the race start?
7:30, okay. Something like that. But during the day when we got up there early, it was cold. It was also cold on Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to that in a second. That's okay. An important part of where the first NASCAR fan that I met was this jerk from Philly, and it was really, really funny. So we get up there and we find a place to park, and it's like we rounded up every illegal alien in this country and made them live in some type of a tent city.
Okay,
that's all I could say. It is its own separate city.
People make a 3-day weekend out of it. Yeah.
Some people have been there. We found out 8 or 9 days.
Wow,
waiting for these races.
Wow.
So she says, we're going to get our own little bar. We know where the car is.
Are there people that tour with NASCAR that actually travel from race to race?
There are. We man them. So we fix our own drinks, right? Little Crayon Light and a little more vanilla vodka.
So you're beginning your tailgating.
Right. And we start walking around with the drinks, and we're feeling good, and we go back to the car, and we refill, and we're walking around. And it's cold. Like I said, like 47. Mm. And, of course, there are these stands where they sell every type of friggin' merchandise in the world. So I'm standing outside the Tony Stewart stand, and, you know, I'm...
They have a Tony Stewart doll?
Yeah, they have bobbleheads. Yeah, they do. And I was really, you know, I was saying, how retarded would I look if I bought that jacket? I said, really? I'd never wear that jacket.
Right.
She said, you'd wear it today. I said, I'd wear it today because I'm drunk. And I have a jacket on now.
Was it one of those killer jackets, one of those real expensive ones?
No, it's one that looked like one of the guys in his crew would wear.
Okay, so
it was one of those big goddamn...
nylon jackets.
Orange Home Depot, looked like a retard thing.
Is Tony Stewart your driver?
Yeah, I like him.
Okay.
And he looked like he could be working on the stop-slow thing, or you'd be out hunting thing, just hideous. I didn't end up getting it, but I was standing there debating it. A guy from Philly came up, and let me see, what did she write here? Oh, guy from Philly bitching about temp. Oh, okay. All right. So we're just standing there looking, and this guy comes up and announces that he's from Philadelphia. That's right. How we know. He walks up to the girl behind the counter and says, hello, I'm from Philly. Right? And everybody kind of stops, and he says, what is the effing deal? Last year, I was here at this race. It was 98 effing degrees. It's 47 effing degrees now. And I got to buy this stuff to stay warm.
He's not happy.
Now, at this point, I can see that my girlfriend wants to say something to him.
And he doesn't fit what most people have, the stereotypical NASCAR.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
He was very mad, and she wanted to say something to him. I know she. So I grabbed her, you know, by her... Well, by the back of her neck.
No, I pulled the hair back, snapped her
no,
head.
No, I grabbed her by her...
Shut up!
By her collar, I'm like, chill out, just watch this guy. He's like, all right, I tell you what, I'm cold, so I will do you a favor, and I will buy one of them sweatshirts, and then I would like that, not that, the... What kind of hat is that?
And
then she says to him, "That is a that's a winter hat. That's a like a ski hat." Uh-huh. He says, "Is it a ski mask?" She says, "No, it's a winter hat.
Right?
It's a wool hat. You know." He says,
"When you're in the Poconos, you're up in the mountains."
Uh-huh. I'll take those. So she goes, "Okay," and she rings it up and whatever. Now this is where the guy really just loses it. He goes. She goes, whatever, you know, $62. He goes,
$62 effing dollars! $62 effing dollars!
And he's not there with anybody.
He's just screaming?
He's not there with fans.
Is he doing it to get himself noticed, or is he doing it because he's legitimately pissed?
He is drunk.
Right,
and he is pissed,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting so mad at this girl that's working behind the counter.
Right,
he finally says, "Screw it, I'll live without the sweatshirt. How much is the hat?" And she says, $19.95.
Oh. You're kidding me.
He said, "Okay," lays down the $20,
uh-huh.
Then says, "Where's my change?" Right, and she gives him the change. He puts on the hat. Now, it's one of those wool like old time wintery hats. You know the do you know the type I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of a blue winter with like a logo on it, maybe with just a number on it.
Yeah, it's got number 20 on it. Now he's got it pulled at this sideway jaunty angle that makes him look seriously like a mongoloid.
He's got hats here.
He's drunk enough and he's sloppy enough and he's wearing the hat at such an angle that people are not looking at him now like he's some out-of-control monster.
No.
It's almost like, and he turns and he says, out of everybody in the crowd,
right.
He turns to my girlfriend, who's not said a thing, about 20 feet away, uh-huh. And goes,
"What are you laughing at?"
And this is, so I'm...
Well, I frankly think you look like a mongoloid in that hat.
I'm standing there and I said, she's not laughing at anything.
Was I talking to you? Oh, is he a large man?
He is a gigantic, I mean, not fat. He is a gigantic tree trunk of a man.
Okay, so he's a big man who could
crush me.
Crush you.
He's drunk and he could crush me.
Are his arms exposed from the shoulder down?
No, but he has on, Buzz, you'd like this. He had on a tiny, tiny shirt.
Ah.
And celebrity he most resembles, yeah. Vin Diesel with hair.
Wearing chains? Is he wearing gold?
Nope.
Wallet chain.
Oh, I thought you meant like hanging. No. Yes,
no, does he have the jewelry?
The Guido stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And he's got the big guns. Okay, so right. I didn't picture him being there. He's like,
"What are you laughing at?"
She's like, "Nothing."
"And what are you looking at?"
And I go, "Nothing." And then, you know, because I'm already feeling like Joe Pussy.
Do you know, seriously, when a guy says that to you, have I ever told you what you do in that situation?
What's that?
If he says specifically those words, "What are you looking at?"
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way you handle this situation. You stop, you maybe wait two beats. You kind of squint one eye, but keep it open and keep the other one open full. And you look him in the eye like this. He says, "What are you looking at?" And you look right at him and you go, look at him and say, "A dead man."
Maybe that works for you. That would not work for me.
Nah, I'm just joshing.
I'm standing there, and this is kind of played out now. But
right.
Now it's played out. And
so did you feel when he said that to you like he was maybe looking for somebody to go with?
Yeah, I mean, sure. He was, and there's no doubt that, I mean, I was goofing on him behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he was talking real loud and stuff, I was going, like, to my girlfriend, and I was going, you know, like,
right.
Like, you know, doing the mouthy thing, and he couldn't mm-hmm. see me. So I feel emaciated. I feel like a pussy. I don't stand up for my girlfriend.
Emasculated.
Emasculated.
Right.
Thank you. What did I say?
Right. Emaciated. He wasn't taking any weight off you. He was just making you feel like a girl.
No, correct. And then to make matters worse, so he's still just standing there. It's like awkward. He's standing there, and there are some people, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to buy something or not.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy who's got to weigh soaking wet, maybe 78 pounds. Guy walks up with his two kids. Guy looks like a stick figure, really. Walks up to the guy and says, excuse me, I'm here with my family, and NASCAR is a family event, and I don't appreciate the way you talk, and I don't appreciate the way you talk to people. And if you got a problem, how about you and I step behind this tent?
Wow.
And this guy,
whoa!
This guy literally is 4 feet tall, right? And Big Vin Diesel says, hey, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm terribly sorry. It's like he's doing it pathetically, but he's
backing down to the guy.
But he walks away.
Yeah.
He walks away.
You've probably had this situation. When you have your kids, and you're a father standing up for your children, that is, I don't care what the circumstance, that's a legitimate, you know, pride of the lions kind of moment.
Right.
So this is why I like my girlfriend. He walks away. The guy from Philly walks away, and the other guy walks up with his kids, and she says, thank God there was a real man around to protect me.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's funny.
Did you laugh out loud at that?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
That's funny.
That I bought my two...
Was he causing people around there to cower a little bit?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he was so loud and obnoxious.
Gigantic man. And then I bought my two tubes of Tony Stewart personal lubricant, and we were out of there.
Excellent.
And this is now where it gets... This is where it gets very Mike-ish.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm at the racetrack long enough now that all inhibitions are gone. All these people that I'm meeting, they're all my friends.
Right. Drink those inhibitions away.
Now, these, generally speaking, are people who I imagine eat possums 7 nights a week. Yet, for whatever reason, I'm going in their tents. I'm going by their bonfires. Now here we go.
Here's shaking hands. Hey buddy, pick a winner. Get her done.
Here's the next thing that my girlfriend wrote down. Drunk Yahtzee. Now,
hey,
I don't like board games to begin with.
Okay.
I mean, even around the holidays, right, when my family plays board games,
right,
I hate it. We go by one these people. They have a Tony Stewart flag up,
mm-hmm,
and they've got a tent. And they say, I stick my head and I go, any number 20 fans in here? Because that's the way I am.
Well, you're well on your way if you're doing that.
So they're like, come on in, we love Tony. So I say to Adrian, and at this point,
you like to yell when you've got, I just realized you like to do a little, yeah!
Yeah.
No. I got one of those last night. Do you remember that?
No.
I don't know what we were walking by. It was some Irish pub we walked by with the door open. And we're walking back to the hotel, and you're just you just had enough where you leaned in, and we had a really good meeting, and we came walking out, and you leaned in that the Irish bar and just pulled a, yeah!
I don't know what's going on with me.
Well, no, it's not like you were struggling.
Struggling.
But I can see you doing this. I can see you doing this.
So I say to Adrian, come here, honey. Be a love. Go get some more drinks.
Okay.
She says, where's the car? I don't know. So she says,
you're in the tent city.
She says, give me the boop boop thing. So I give her the keys,
right,
and she's off to find a drink. She comes back, great girlfriend. Like 10 minutes later, she's got two drinks. She comes back, she goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing Yahtzee. And they say, he doesn't know how to play Yahtzee.
Yeah.
I said, I never played before. What's Yahtzee? And as it turns out, gosh, you can get a full house. You can get four of a kind.
You're the only guy I've ever played Yahtzee.
You fill out the top of the sheet and then the
doesn't have little pieces that you move. Is that
no? Yahtzee? You roll five dice.
Ah, okay.
Five dice.
Yahtzee, wandering around in Shantytown.
We used our hand. We didn't use any of your fancy cup.
No city cup.
Down home Yahtzee.
All I know is that then at one point they're still explaining this to me. Now keep in mind, it's me, Mr. I Can't Stand
It. It wasn't Yahtzee for money, was it?
Oh, no, it was a dollar a hand.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was a dollar a game, and you know, God knows how much I lost because I really didn't understand how to play.
Right.
And at one point, I couldn't even, my eyes are so bad, and I was just so out of it. I made Adrian go back to, I don't want to say made her. I said, where are my glasses? She's like, they're in the car. I said, would you please go? I can't read. This is too small to read the Yahtzee thing.
The scorecard.
So she goes and she gets the...
You've played Yahtzee,
yeah, many times.
this was just, I mean.
Rob, I don't think it's because of that.
I do.
Yeah. Because of the weed?
Yeah.
No, with Buzz? I don't think so. But it was just hard to believe that I'd be sitting around. Celebrity that these people most resembled, yeah. All of them, Boomhauer. From King of the Hill.
No, I'm going to play Yahtzee. I'm going to click, click, click. I'm going to Yahtzee, and I'm going to get a reading glass, read that Yahtzee game board.
Start a mic, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Man, can Hawaii get sticky?
It's a hot time in Florida.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a life-altering herpetic sore.
Hey.
The Don and Mike Show.
We already heard that one. Welcome back to the Pest of Don and Mike. Oh, damn. Don and Mike down on their yearly tour of the wet t-shirt contest. They're participating, you know, not taking them in for their spring break vacation. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on this fine, fine Friday afternoon. Let's get right back into the best of Don and Mike. Don's been telling his NASCAR stories. Let's get back to it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
The Licky and Lucy trailer. We're trying to find the car. She's fine. I've had a little bit too much to drink to drive.
Right.
She's fine. So we're navigating our way through this sea of people,
right,
trying to find our car. And we go past these people. It's like a big old-fashioned 1950s.
Is this before you even go into the race?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Big old-fashioned silver, trailer. Like,
right,
like you haul around. I go...
Like one of those old Airstreams?
Yes. So we stand in there for a second. She's still looking for the car. Meanwhile, now again, this is just not the way I am. The man, who is about 60, wearing his boxers and an undershirt, holding a can of beer, comes to the screen door and says, "It's a beauty, isn't it?" I said, "God, it's great." He said, "Would you like to see it?" I said, "Would I?"
He's in his underwear?
He's got his boxer shorts on, his NASCAR boxer shorts.
Well, right.
And he's got a wife beater on.
Right.
And his wife is there, and she's dressed normal, but, you know, they're 60.
But it's just a friendly environment.
So he said...
Everybody's recreating, enjoying
camping,
the same
relaxing,
thing.
Yeah. He says, do you want to come in? I say, sure. So
that's when he shuts the door and bolt locks it in back to you.
This is just so not me. I go in and sit down, and I'm getting this guy's entire, my name is Fred, and this is my wife, Myrtle, and we live down south of Atlanta. We go to all the races, and can we get you something to drink? I said, no, I'm fine. My girlfriend will be coming back any second. And then I realized, hold on, she doesn't know where I am.
Yeah.
So
you walked into a strange trailer.
So, yeah. Come on, squeal!
Yeah.
Squeal.
Had to happen.
So what happens is...
Don Geronimo stars in Missing.
I have to go, I say, give me just a second.
The great race.
And I go out on the front porch, and now... front porch. I mean, I'm on the steps, on the wooden steps. Of the
what? Place. You make yourself comfortable. Get her done!
I'm standing there like a retard. And keep in mind, everybody's yelling and screaming, and there's music, and I'm going, like out of Rocky. I'm going, Eddie! Hey, where are you? And some guy...
This is so unlike you that you're walking into a complete stranger's trailer.
Some guy who at that moment, I thought I had never met before, was walking by and said, "Hey, Mike." So he called me by my real name, right?
Yeah.
And I'd do a dog, like, "Yeah?" He said, "Your girlfriend's looking for you about two blocks over that way. She's by a red trailer." I say, "Who are you?" He said, I'm Kevin.
I'm the
white rabbit.
I'm the drunk wrangler.
Dick, whatever
I'm the drunk wrangler. Don, we're going to need you to step into this wagon.
He said, "Don't you remember? You ate some of my pig."
Back at the bonfire?
And I said, and I treat him like he's my long-lost friend. He said, "You're the guy with the pig on the spigot. Man, was that good. God, was that good." The old guy's come out.
First tapped pig.
The old guy comes out, and he's like, "Hi." And I said, "This is my friend. I'm pointing up. Kevin.
Yeah. Was the sun, and the sun's not even totally down yet, right?
Nope. So the guy goes and finds my girlfriend.
Right.
brings him back, and it's at this point that we hear, it's all happening inside, right?
So they're getting ready to race.
Getting ready to race. Now, just a prelim.
Right.
And we've been there about 5 hours already.
Wow.
When you said prelim, you mean before the before the actual Friday night race starts.
Saturday night, yeah.
Saturday night race.
Because Sunday was the big Megilla. Sunday was the big NASCAR race, the real guys. So as we were walking towards the racetrack to get inside, I said to her, oh, my God. She said, what's wrong? I said, where's that barf bag? And she said, well, I've been writing notes on it. I said, I really think I'm going to need it.
Oh.
And she said...
You felt like you'd had enough where you were going to be sick?
Yeah, she said... Well, hold on a second. And she was standing there going through her
purse. Was it a combination of all the food and drink?
Yes, it was. And it was just everything. And she was going through her purse. And, you know, God bless these NASCAR fans. Like, I guess it happens all the time.
Sure.
I just stood there in the middle of... There had to be 20,000 people trying to get inside the stadium. We were about 200 yards from the door where the line started. And I just said, hold on, stop. I don't feel good. So, can you find that? And the next thing was... Bleh!
Yeah.
And I mean, it just starts coming.
This is before the
we did
checkered flag or the yellow flag or the green flag. It's the Technicolor flag.
Yeah. What I was doing was returning the pig.
Wow.
Yes. You were done with
it. But I'm sure that probably made your head feel a little bit better too. Probably cleared you up a little bit.
We decided not to go on Saturday's race.
I hit the trash bag. Get her done. Then you screamed Yahtzee.
So we decided that, you know, she says, you know what, we should probably go back to the hotel tonight.
So you didn't even make it into the first race?
No.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the hotel.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll come back to the track. We won't party quite as much. You'll meet my boss. We'll have a good time. We'll go to the suite. We'll go to the racer. I'm like, okay, that's good. Where's the car?
So, were you guys going to spend the whole night out there?
We were going to go to
the... You're always going to go back to the hotel.
We were going to go back to the hotel eventually.
Right.
So we get back to the hotel, and here's a shock. It's 9:45,
yeah.
And all I know is that
you're 15 minutes away from your normal bedtime. Right?
Here's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
She says to me, take your socks off. And I said, I can't move. She said, come on, take your socks off. I was just laying on top of the bed covers and everything. She couldn't even...
Face down?
Yeah. Ass up, right.
I just was wondering where you were faced up. So you were ready to go out. You're out.
You bet. And then she said, come on, just take your socks off.
Consciousness is saying goodbye.
I said, no. I said, just leave. And then she made the cardinal mistake. She said, all right, I'll just take them off. And it was like at that moment I woke up and I became sober. I'm like, hey, what's the number one rule? What's the number one rule? Don't touch my feet! Don't touch my feet!
I wish to pass out with my socks on.
So that was that. We go to bed, and like I said, 9:45 we go to bed. 2:15 a.m. Now, the hotel where we are at, incidentally, everywhere, welcome race fans.
Yep, okay, sure.
2:15.
Race fans, hot rodders.
2:15 a.m. Phone rings in the hotel room.
Huh.
I pick it up, you know, half asleep, still drunk. Hello? He goes... Yes, it's very loud. It's very loud. Sounds like maybe from the club in this hotel. Somebody says, this is the front desk. We got complaints. That we hear lots of loud noise and banging from this room. What's going on? And I said, what are you talking about? I went to bed at 9:45. We haven't... Hello? And now I turn the light on, right?
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend goes, who's on the phone? I said, the front desk. So I pick up, I call, and it goes... Front desk, how may I help you? I said, did you just call my room? No, I did not, sir. I said, could somebody call my room? Well, I'm the only one here. I can't imagine what... It is a race weekend, you know. Would you like a do not disturb on your phone? I said, that'd be great. Thank you. Have a good night. And then what we hear is, so now we're laying in bed in this hotel room. We're both awake, waiting to go back to sleep. And we hear the phone ring in the room next to us.
Ah. Oh, somebody's just effing with people.
And then 5 minutes later, she says, listen. And because it's so quiet,
uh-huh.
It's 2:30 in the morning.
He's just making the rounds.
There is somebody drunk that's just calling everybody individually.
You were in the Poconos. That's Pennsylvania?
Yep.
You weren't in Sacramento.
No, we were not, Mike.
You sure?
I know it sounds like it.
It sounds like Sacramento to me. If it was Sacramento, they'd wait 2 hours later.
So we get to the race on Sunday. It's great. I'm feeling good.
Did you have a good breakfast?
We ate a Perkins, so you know it's got to be good.
there you go.
Hearty meal.
Good stuff.
It's good and good for you. So we got there, and it was the combination of the previous day and that wonderful Perkins pig intestine, whatever it was that I had for deep fried for breakfast.
That was the best.
I got there, and I thought I shouldn't drink vodka again. So
I can't beat what I ate last night.
What's ripe? Oh, yeah, Mike had tripe last night.
That's
right.
I've never had a
restaurant.
That's intestines.
That's a little stomach lining.
Ah.
Yeah.
So we got there. Let me just finish up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got there, and now we got to, like, meet her boss and everything.
Right.
Who's the guy that got us all this. So I'm, like, putting on my best, hi, how you doing? Yes, nice to meet you.
How do you do?
Know, I got the gigantic bags under my eyes, and I'm still,
how many hours, like, between the interrupted sleep, how many hours did you get?
Oh, like maybe three.
Three.
I mean, because you know, a drunk sleep is not a really restful sleep.
Well, you know, and I find any time in a hotel, if you're not 100% like exhausted, you're gonna have trouble.
So we're going outside, and we're going in between the little suite area and outside by turn number three.
Pale as the movie powder.
And at one point, I don't know why it moves me like this. I just said to her, I said, you know what? That's it. We got to go.
Yeah.
She's like, why do we got to go? I say, because we got to go. I said,
too much day?
I said, just everybody now. I said, everybody's too loud. She's like, but my boss is here. I said, okay, I'll go over to him. And I said, I promise I'll smooth that over with him.
That's a tough deal, because really, what time is that race going to end on Sunday?
About 6:30.
That's a long day.
Traffic.
I mean, to get back and think about work and all that.
I said to her, listen, don't worry about it. I'll go talk to him, tell him what a great time I had, and I did. And tell him, I said, I will make up some fantastic, like about the dogs or something, or the fact I've got. Here's why I walked up to the guy. I said, Scott. Shook his hand. I said, Scott. And I gave him the double clasp, like flipping handshake. I said,
sincere.
I want you to know what a great time we had. I said, unfortunately, Adrian's feeling a little under the weather, so I'm going to take her home and take care of her. She's been here today because she really...
Does she know that you're using her?
No, she's got no idea.
That's bad planning right there.
And hold on.
You have to coordinate the
Tell line. Me, hold on, please. Tell me about it, because, of course, what does happen to me? Because I say to Leah, so we really got to get her. I said, thank you. She's only been here because she feels so poorly. I think she's got a ton of flu. He's like, okay, it was nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Good.
I go over back to her, because now we're inside this crowded little area that's air-conditioned with booths. So you're not by the car going 200 miles an hour.
Right.
And I walk back over and I say, okay, we're cool. I talked to him. I told him the whole thing. Told him I felt like crap. It's on me. I did tell him I had a great time. I said, okay. She said, all right, well, let's go. And we started to walk out, and she said, oh, hold on. Crap. I wanted to get two T-shirts for my nephews. So I don't even think about this. And I just see from across the room, she walks past the boss, and I'm just not registering on all eight cylinders. Mentally, I'm not. I'm seeing this happen. I'm just standing by the door, and I'm almost getting incensed. Like, my foot is tapping, like, Come on. I already said goodbye to the guy. Come on. She comes over, and she walks. She gives me, and I already know this, the phony smile. So she goes, are you ready to go? I said, what's wrong? She said, absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. Let's get out of here. You're ready to go, aren't you? Let's get out. I said, but what's wrong? She said, nothing. Please just leave, okay?
In the car.
Thank you. So we get outside. We get outside, and she actually rolled up her program and hit me in the back of the head.
Because you were the one that was going to claim the illness.
She said to me, I don't mind if you tell him that I'm sick, but you got to tell me that.
Yeah, you're right.
Because my boss said to me,
how you feeling?
Said, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. And she said, are you kidding? I feel great.
Busted.
Busted. So then here's the last, I couldn't yell at her. Obviously, I'm in the doghouse, and I couldn't yell at her. The only other opportunity that I had because you know how it is. I mean, I'm dating somebody, and I'm familiar enough with her now that it's okay, I've got a bad mark against me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for her to do anything, bro. Things will even out so that
you want her to do something, and you're counting on it maybe on the ride home.
Good luck.
And she came up with a beauty. I can't take total. It was a dual thing. We're on the way home, and really, she has the bladder of a hummingbird. It seems to me every 15 minutes it's going to be stop and go to the bathroom.
Sure.
So we're making really good time on, I think it's I-81. And we're coming back, and like the speed limit's 65, and they're like 72, cruise control. Nobody, she says, I got to pee so bad. Can you stop at the next exit? I said, sure. Next exit's a mile away, and it says, Arby's, 2 miles this way.
And that's where you always want to do that.
Yeah. Whatever
at Arby's.
Whatever hotel, 2 miles this way. I say, where do you want to pee? Arby's or a hotel? She says, go to the hotel. So we drive 2 miles to the hotel. She goes in and she pees. She comes back. As we're getting back on the interstate, we're talking, and I don't know what it is. It's right. Back and forth, and now we're driving, and everything's just fine, and I see a sign that says, Hershey, Pennsylvania, events, next exit. And I say to her, hold on a second. I said, Hershey? God damn it, we passed this an hour ago. She said, which way are we going? And I push the thing on the GPS in the car, and it says, I-81 North. I said, Jesus Christ. And it was only because I had been such an ass earlier, I said, you made us go the wrong way. And she said, you're driving. I said, you're the one that got the tickets for the thing. You're the one that had to pay.
Maybe I didn't explain the concept of the navigator to you.
I said, you got to stop every 5 minutes and pee. We stopped and pee. We're going the wrong way. I said, does your...
Is this one of those kind of highways that they're like 15, 16 miles between?
Yes, where you have no idea, just no freaking idea.
Right.
And I started saying to her, aren't you from Pennsylvania? She said... Now, what does that have to do with it? I said, well, you certainly should know. And I'm not talking like this. I'm not drunk.
For God's sakes, the bushes on the north side just look like the bushes on the south side.
So we finally make the turnaround.
That's a rather significant error.
Yeah, that added 2 hours.
Yeah.
That added 2 full hours.
Not
to
fun
our,
on a Sunday.
To our drive.
With a hangover.
Yeah, and NASCAR, buddy. Hey, buddy. How about you, NASCAR?
Who won the race? Do you know who won the race?
No idea. No idea.
Wow. That guy with the Airstream camper.
Some guy.
You were friendly to strangers. You played.
Oh, I know who won. The FedEx guy won. The guy in the FedEx car won.
The FedEx guy?
Whoever he is.
All right.
That's all I know. It's a black car.
So over this weekend, you were friendly to strangers. You played Yahtzee and you lied poorly. Who are you?
Oh, and also the other thing that I did.
Yes.
That I know that did not endear me to the people that my girlfriend works for.
Oh, right.
We got there early enough on Sunday that just like when I was in Daytona and I had the pass from Fox, I could actually go into a very limited view of the pit area.
Okay.
And what happens is I was right by the car or one of the cars that they have a backup car in case the first one breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the backup car, but it looks just like the other one, and it's fancy as hell. And I was just standing there with her saying, God damn, that's great. I said, do me a favor, take a picture of me by this car, because I had my picture taken once by Darrell Waltrip's car when I was down in Daytona. So she said, I don't know if you should. I said, come on, I promise, I won't do anything. So it's like me standing there going, ta-da!
Yee!
And then I couldn't help myself. I said, just get one of me behind the wheel. Just one. And she said, I said, come on, it'll take no time. Now, keep in mind.
Let me take it for one spin around the triangle track.
The doors don't open.
Right.
You know, they're welded shut.
Yeah.
You got to climb in.
That's right.
You got to get in like Starsky and Hutch.
So I climb in the car.
Uh-huh.
And she's standing there with the camera, and she goes, okay, ready? And smile. And she puts the camera away. And
Was it difficult to get into it?
No, it was pretty easy. I mean, it was...
pretty cool when you were inside of it?
It was fantastic.
All sorts of technology.
Amazingly, not as much as you would think.
Oh, pretty lean?
I mean, it's like a bare bones. I don't know if it's just because that was the backup car or whatever.
I mean, it hasn't changed that much. It's a combustion engine.
I mean, it's got the gas, it's got the clutch, it's got the shifter, it's got the... You know. Anyway, her boss wasn't even there. It was someone from the race team.
Okay.
And this is how I know, because they had on one of the race uniforms.
XM or Sirius? In the car.
Mike, of course, it would be serious.
And, of course, 2 vanity mirrors. That's very important.
Anyway, that little bit of fun ended when I heard from around the corner, what are you doing?
Oh, dear.
And it was a guy that was wearing
one of the suits, like a member of the crew, right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
A member of his pit crew.
Yeah.
And now my girlfriend by this point has moved away from the car, and it's just me sitting in this car.
Right.
And he said, what are you, and his exact words are, get your ass out of that car. What are you doing? I said, I'm sorry, and I pull out, I've got the little VIP pass around my neck, and I say,
it's okay, I stayed in a Comfort Inn last night.
Right, and basically what he said is that, he said, that pass allows you to go to that area over there where you stand behind the yellow line, and it's a very select group of people who are allowed to come this close to the pit area. You are not supposed to come in and get inside the vehicle. I mean, the guy was...
So he went nuts.
Yeah. The guy was P-I-double-S-E-D.
Yeah.
Sure.
And of course, what a stupid ass I am.
Should have looked at him and said, I didn't drive it.
The stupid
okay,
ass.
Okay, Mr. Man.
However, the picture's pretty good.
Really?
I'll see my girlfriend tomorrow night. I'll get the picture and bring it in and put it on the website. Because...
And you took this picture on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Because you were inside the race on Sunday. Probably would have gone a little worse if you had done something like that on Friday night.
The look that I have on my face is one of... And I only saw it on her little camera, you know, cause she's got to print it out. And it's
right.
It was just that where you look at the, you look at it and you go, oh, that looks pretty good. It's a really, really happy look where she described, she said, you look so happy there. She said, oh, but look, that's so sad. You look so hungover. And then the more she said, you look so tired. And then she said, oh, that's such a sad smile. It's like it's your happy, but look at, you're so sad.
Here I am in the race car.
Here I am in the race car.
Did you, when you were in the race car, did you sneak one? Did he give him a little one cheek sneak?
No. No. My God, it was
leave a little something in there.
Just a great weekend, sure. And hi to all my homies.
Sounds fun. Would you go again?
No.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Larry King. Lots of all Super Dukes at the top of the hour. It'll be good to see the Duker again next week.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
I'm sick of
the Don and Mike Show.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Cool. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Yeah, welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, legendary Joe Ardinger, with you on this fine Friday afternoon. Well, that was Don's NASCAR story. Good fun. And now, for something completely different. That was a little bit of the British accent. Maybe more of that next week. But anyway, Don and Mike on spring break down there participating in all the wet t-shirt contests. So, till then, you've got me and more best of. And it's time to talk to the British Star Trek fans apartment guy on the best of Don and Mike.
Time for something that I think probably only appeals to me. Answer me these questions three. Mike, as you know, I have two great passions in my life. Star Trek The Next Generation.
And Christ.
And closely behind that, the UK. Imagine my thrill. Have you seen the movie Trekkies, and have you seen Trekkies 2 with Denise Crosby?
I have seen a little bit of it, yes.
Played Lieutenant Yar.
Mm-hmm.
In Trekkies 2, she interviews a guy from the UK who's turned his home into a replica of the Enterprise.
And it's a noble quest.
He spent 8 years turning his apartment into Star Trek The Next Generation.
Marvelous.
He's going to sell them now on eBay. And he's in London.
He's going to sell houses?
Somewhere in the UK.
You mean he's going to sell the interior design of houses?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, mate.
How you doing?
Hi, everybody. This is
Tony.
Tony. Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Tony.
Now, Buzz, can you please pull up this website, www.number24, meaning 24. It's www.24thcid. www.24thcid.com. And, Mike, if you look on Buzz's screen, you'll see that on this guy's website, it looks like one of the panels.
Interesting that website has THC in it.
From it has the website looks like a panel from the Starship Enterprise.
Is that your house?
It's an apartment, yeah, that I worked on, yeah.
I mean, so when you walk into your apartment, Tony, do you really walk into like a Star Trek environment?
Yes, I certainly do, yeah. It's 100%. In fact, it's a lot better than what you see on the website. Those pictures are about 3 years old. It's been refitted since that website was done.
So why do you
I don't even like Star Trek as much as you, but I have to admit now I am suddenly intrigued. Are you looking at that? At
yeah.
The detail in that thing?
Oh, I saw the website before the show. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's done a pretty good job of recreating what the... Now, it's not only the Enterprise, but it's Voyager, right?
Yes, it's been refitted to Voyager. In fact, I'm a fan of Star Trek, but I'm more of a fan of the interior. As an interior designer, I'm more of a fan of the Star Trek's interior. I think the American-based TV show is better than any sci-fi show in terms of interior.
Now, how much do you think... Well, now, you've done this in your own house. You've turned your house into a replica of the Enterprise. How exactly are you going to sell this on eBay?
Well, it's been 2 years in having the refit to Star Trek Voyager. So it'll be listed on their real estate auction site at the end of this month.
So you're selling your apartment, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, well.
England can kiss my ass.
Would you ever go to any other houses and like sell the interior design? Is it something that you can replicate in different apartments?
Mike, what?
Yeah. In different degrees. I get people saying that they want their study or their den doing, or they just want a particular part of the house doing.
You didn't even know it. You used a Star Trek word.
Yeah, the replicator.
The replicator.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about that.
So when you were in that movie Trekkies 2,
yeah.
Were you embarrassed when the movie came out?
No, I wasn't actually, because the crew with Denise Crosby, who played Tasha Yar, they were a great bunch of people. It was an enjoyable day. It was a long day, but it was an enjoyable day when I met them.
I actually replicated the outside of my house one time to look like the set of Sanford and Son.
You did a good job, Mike.
Thank you very much. You've been there.
You did a good job.
Isn't that incredibly authentic?
Listen, I'm a very big Star Trek TNG fan, and even I wouldn't do something as nutty as this, but we'll be glad to promote the website. Let me ask you this.
Looks expensive.
It's not expensive. Basically, at the end of the day, it's like set design. And if you've ever come across any set designer, they'll tell you that. I mean, the main budget goes on the actors, as you well know.
What are you looking for? What would a good opening bid be on eBay?
It'll start off at $200,000, but it does have a reserve price.
All right, so you got a reserve, a minimum reserve you have to meet, and obviously it's over in the UK, so this is somebody that you're probably looking for somebody that's a Brit that's going to bid on this,
no,
right?
No, not necessarily, because it's going on eBay.com, it's open to anybody.
Yeah, but wouldn't they have to move to England, to the UK?
No, not necessarily. You could get a businessman who is a Star Trek fan, and there's plenty about, who just wants to own this apartment.
Okay.
As a kind of party piece to bring his friends or whatever.
I'd love to have a party there.
Yeah.
That would be, and you know, you're into it more than I am. I'm looking at
it's
this.
Cool.
That would be extremely
it
cool.
It is cool. Yeah. And may I ask you something else, sir? Have you seen those pictures of Paul's wife in the porno? I'm talking about, you know, the girl with one leg.
Oh, sure.
Christ, is she hot? Have you seen those topless pictures of her?
I've not seen anything today. I don't read the newspapers that often, but I've been told about it.
Oh, yeah.
What is the coolest thing in your house, your Star Trek house?
It has to be the transporter. It was the first thing that was built, and it took 2 years to build, and that was based on the Next Generation transporter.
Does it do anything? Does it have anything?
It has sound effects and all the rest of it. The transporter sound effects sort of thing.
Do you think Paul ever does anything with her leg?
Probably does.
I mean,
he's back in his life, so I can't believe I'm...
I can't believe I'm more into this guy's house than you are, because I was thinking, if you go into the transporter room and you hit the sound effects, then what do? Like, run into another room?
It's, well, it's strange, because when Denise Crosby was here, it was a bit surreal, because having seen her on the TV as Tasha Yar, as you mentioned earlier.
She still looks pretty good, huh, Tony?
She stood on the transporter.
Not as good as having her, though.
She said, beam me up, which was a bit surreal to have Denise Crosby here actually using that phrase, beam me up.
What do you think that Denise Crosby would have to do to get a leg up on Heather?
Now, you're an interior designer, an interior decorator?
Interior designer.
Are you, don't take any offense at this, we're a gay-friendly show. Are you light in the loafers, mate?
Say again?
Light in the loafers. They might not know that
you like,
in the UK.
You like boy, men more than women?
No, I have a wife. She's an ex-wife. I'm okay, a very, very good. So
you're a
every other day. You're
a heterosexual interior designer.
That is an American stereotype, that if you're a male and you're an interior designer, you got to be a pole smoker.
No, I don't know. Maybe I think there may be a couple of interior designers that have kind of donned that label.
Oh, and speaking of pole smokers, do you think that Paul ever took Heather's leg off and used it as a pipe to smoke weed?
I don't know, but I think you two are probably on something like that.
Well, I can only hope that you get incredible bids from the UK. Perhaps Prince Harry or Prince William will bid on this.
Maybe. It'd be somebody like that, or maybe Richard Branson. It'd be somebody who just wants to own it and say, well, yes, I own the Star Trek
apartment. Will you do anything similar along the Star Trek? Will you design any other interiors that are, Star Trek-type interiors?
Yes, I'm coming to the States soon. I've got somebody who wants... somebody quite famous. Somebody very famous who wants something doing for another member of his family.
Can you tell us the famous person?
Yeah, no, I said not to say anything at all.
It's got to be private.
Well, I could say he's got a famous dad, so if you put two and two together, you might get him.
Yeah, and I know this. I don't want you to affect the sale, obviously, but this has the novelty approach anyway. If you are going to build this, materials and cost, and just charge somebody for doing this, what do you think you can get it done for? Bottom line cost.
It's just an ordinary room. Say an ordinary. This is a 375 square feet, so an ordinary room. You could probably do it for about $5,000, maybe.
Why is Benny Hill so funny?
I don't think he's funny myself, but I dare say he might be funny over there.
I like that Fawlty Towers guy.
And yeah, well, Johnny, please, now, he's not so funny, he's a very intelligent guy.
And you've not seen the pictures of Paul McCartney's wife?
No, I've not seen it, but my ex-wife gets the newspaper, so she's constantly talking about it.
Do you believe, how long was he married to her, Robbie?
Four years.
Did she get like $180 million?
That's good money.
Jesus Christ.
And there's no prenuptial, apparently.
Right. I think it sounds reasonable.
Do you believe that she made Paul have plastic surgery?
I doubt that.
Are you embarrassed by Ringo?
I believe Ringo's an alcoholic, so I've been told.
Oh, dear. Do you guys have better water over there now for, like, the fluoride for the teeth?
Yeah. It's good. The water's good over here.
And your food's getting better, too, isn't it?
I'm all right on it.
Do you boil a lot of your own meals?
Well, now I have microwave food for us.
Okay, microwave, very good.
Yeah, it's quick and easy.
Listen, here's a serious question. I watch the news a lot. Is Prince Harry just a little slow?
I'm not a royalist, to be honest with you. I don't follow the royal family.
He looks like the slow royal to us.
He might be slightly retarded. I mean, not like, are you familiar with Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Forrest Gump had an IQ of 75. Prince Harry looks to me to be maybe, if I was to clock him, like an 80.
Does Prince Harry's polo pony graze in another, field?
I was astonished, because they've just done a show now about Princess Diana, the late Princess Diana, and it showed you clips of the two princes, and they were looking at wreaths that were laid down as a result of her death outside Buckingham Palace. It's funny that you should say about him being a bit slow, because the expression on the two of them's faces was like as if nothing had happened.
Would you feel safer if the Bobbies carried guns?
Yes, I think I would, yeah.
We're getting all our English questions.
I think they should, yeah. I think if everybody, like you over there, or some of your states where having a gun is not prohibited.
The last thing
I think we should adopt that attitude here, and there'd probably be less crime.
How's your silly soccer game going?
Again, I don't follow football, but I just caught the Brazil-Croatia match, and Brazil have won. They won that match 1-0.
What's your favorite American food?
Got to be hamburger.
Hamburger.
Yeah, yeah, very
why
good.
Do soccer fans in England, and well, throughout Europe, why do they throw bananas at the black players?
I don't know. It's a racist thing. I think, I mean, we were talking about, I work out for the gym there, we're talking about soccer, about that particular thing, and why violence is attached to soccer, and where did the violence first start? And it started here in the UK. I said, what soccer fans ought to do is take a leaf out of the football fans in America, because I believe there's no violence attached to your game, is there?
Not really. There's an occasional fight in the stands, but nothing really of a large scale.
And you have 10 times the amount of people go see one of your major...
Yes. The National Football League dwarfs your, as you call it, football. Let's
and there's
honest.
No violence. And yet it's a more body contact game.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
So why is that?
Well, maybe the key is...
We're the
greatest nation
in the free world.
I'd start watching it. Maybe the key is to make soccer just a little more violent. I mean, really, why not go for that? Have the fighting on the field. See, it's too gentle a sport. Run, 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 kick the ball. Run, 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 kick the ball. Have a few more, you know, put a little rugby into it.
That's right, yeah, and because as your sport is akin to rugby union, I dare say, and yet at rugby union matches, we don't have any violence, but we have violence at football matches.
Oh. See, there it is.
Yeah. Do you know who Simon Cowell is?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Do you think he's a dick?
Is it what?
Do you think he's a jerk?
I think I think he's a very professional, very successful a record producer.
Mm-hmm. We love him. America loves him because of course, as you know, everything good. Or did we steal American Idol from somebody else? Who did we steal?
We stole it from England.
From England, yeah. I think Simon Cowell knows exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. The guy wouldn't be where he is if he didn't. I used to be in the record business myself. And as far as he's concerned, everything he says is constructive and exactly 9 out of 10 times of what he says.
Why does he...
It's spot on.
Why does he wear such tiny T-shirts?
Well, you're never going to get an answer to that one.
So many questions, no, and there's just not enough
so
time.
Many British questions. Fantastic. And hey, I guess your queen's taking a sip from that fountain of youth, huh? She's still hanging in there.
And really, how do you think Prince Charles dives into that Camilla? I mean, seriously, take a good look at her.
What if Prince, seriously, what does that think about her?
That's like him looking in a mirror, putting on a wig and saying, yeah, I'm a woman.
I'm going to do myself.
She has been actually kind of compared to a late male comedian here who died some time ago, and they both of them look exactly the same.
Do the Brits like Camilla at all?
I think this is like a 50-50. I think the thing with Diana, they won't let that go because I mean, it's as you say, how can Prince Charles prefer Camilla Parker Bowles over, you know, Princess Diana?
That's
I can't understand that one. I still can't understand.
Who wants to eat dog when you can eat steak? You know what I'm saying?
Spoken like a true Yank.
Well, listen, the website is 24thcid.com. Mm-hmm. If you're a Star Trek fan like I am, go check it out. This dude's apartment looks just like the Enterprise.
I predict you're going to get a lot of money for this, Tony.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this contract goes in the States when I come over to California.
Hey, listen, how's that Iraq war working out? Is the war in Iraq working out as good for you as it is for us?
Well, there's plenty of discussions about that here on the TV, and I'd like to get into that myself.
We're loving it. Mission accomplished, don't you think?
That's going great.
It seems every time I turn the radio on, it seems to be the same. They talk about the same things over and over again. It just kind of wears me down a bit. I know there's people dying over there. Yeah. But I think really they should just leave them to it.
Leave them to it, yeah. Well, a lot of people feel that way over here.
In every war, it's got something to do with religion, and it's never going to change.
Where did you get the idea for the Mini Cooper? That is such a cute car. Well, give me best to Roger Moore, and thank you for being on the show today.
Okay, then.
It's been delightful.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Don and Mike, cheers.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye.
I like Tony. He had a good time. I enjoy Tony, and I like his room. Yeah. I think that's cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked the room. I didn't think you'd like the room.
And you know something? I could see you doing that. I could see you doing it. That's why I asked him cost. And I thought it was pretty cool that he's trying to hawk this thing on eBay, but he still was square with us as far as what it would cost to get that done.
Right. I mean, maybe 10 years ago I might have.
Right.
But it'd be one of those things. It'd be like, now I'd go, oh, Jesus Christ.
If you got it built, You'd spend time in it.
It is cool. Yes, I
would. You would spend time in it, and you would spend time in it naked.
It would be my nude, right, my nude room.
You know what? Seriously, what if it was just a Star Trek bathroom? Limited square footage, and you just have everything. You have the Star Trek, you know, like Rudy Marsky used to have his Wisconsin Badger room.
Keypads and everything.
I don't want to lift up my toilet bowl and hear the Star Trek theme. When you lift the toilet...
Oh, you don't call it the toilet bowl if you do the Star Trek. You call your toilet the replicator. Oh. Well, doesn't it look the same every day? Most of the, if you're fortunate, the loo. Where's me loo?
Where's me loo? I gotta use the loo. I just had my boiled eggs. You would go to Rudy's house to take a leak, mm-hmm. and you go to the bathroom, and you lift up the toilet seat, mm-hmm. and while you're going, it would be like, on Wisconsin, on your side.
No, thank you.
Because you're stood next to the Badger shower curtain.
No, thank you.
Dynamite, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now, a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. Today, Laura and I are in Latin America, where we are visiting five countries. These countries are part of a region that has made great strides towards lettuce, carrots, and celery that have brought stability to their economies. Yet despite the lettuce, carrots, and celery, many citizens in our hemisphere remain trapped in poverty and shut off from the promise of lettuce, carrots, and celery. Nearly one out of every four people in Latin America lives on lettuce, carrots, and celery. The fact is that tens of millions of our brothers and sisters to the south have yet to see improvements in their lettuce, carrots, and celery. And this has led some to question the value of lettuce, carrots, and celery. Our nation has a vital interest in lettuce, carrots, and celery. When our neighbors have lettuce, carrots, and celery in their own countries, they can find work at home and are less likely to migrate to our country illegally. And when our neighbors feel the blessings of lettuce, carrots, and celery in their daily lives, the appeal of radicalism declines and our lettuce, carrots, and celery becomes more secure. The United States is doing its part to help our neighbors in Latin America build a better life for themselves and their families. We are supporting their efforts to meet the basic needs of their citizens, like lettuce, carrots, and celery, and encouraging reforms that will build market economies where people can start from nothing. By doing so, we will increase lettuce, carrots, and celery for all our citizens, strengthen democracy in our hemisphere, and advance the cause of lettuce, carrots, and celery. Thank you for listening.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
The Best of Don and Mike. Oh, damn. Well, I'm your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, and we're almost done for today. But we got one more segment for you. And it wouldn't be Best of without a segment featuring former producer Beth Ann McBride. Beth Ann McBride and her spider bite on The Best of Don and Mike.
Let me get your mind off that, and let me mention Beth Ann McBride.
Very good.
I mean, we'll
I haven't even said hello to her today. We'll
from
think,
one
no.
sexy female to
I
another.
I really don't think I even greeted BA today.
Well.
Man, it's fun to watch.
Here's the list. First, watch out. She's sick as a horse.
Oh, no.
She's,
yeah. got, the, she's got a cold?
She got the creeping crud.
Oh, dear.
So today when we were
out. Oh, then I don't want to come anywhere near
no.
her. Table that greeting thing. Hope she stays on the phone today.
This is, and I, like I was telling you, I know she knows that I'm going to say this stuff on the radio. So I don't worry that I'm violating any secret with her. And we're talking before the show today, blah, blah, blah. And I say, are you sick? And she said, really, she got quite the raspy voice. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. And I said, oh, please don't give it to the rest of us. She said, I'll try not to. I said, how'd you get sick? You know, I'm just making conversation, right?
Right.
She said, a bug bit me in my ass. So, I stop for a moment.
Sure.
I collect myself.
Of course.
And I go, tell me more. She says, when we were on holiday about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
she was in the Outer Banks. She was in a hotel.
Right.
And a bug bit her in the ass.
Well, that's not why she got a cold.
No. Well, now I'm going to give you the story according to Beth Ann.
Okay.
That she told me that the ensuing wound was of such a hideous nature that she wanted to take a picture of it and go down to the front desk of the hotel
right.
to complain about the bug bite on her ass.
Uh-huh.
She was embarrassed, so she had her daughter get out the cell phone with the camera.
Of course.
And
took a picture of her
daughter.
Butt?
Her daughter took a picture of her ass and brought it down to the guy at the front desk. They offered her no satisfaction. She got back home. Her ass is still bothering her.
Mm.
She went to CVS.
Well, what'd she do? Get bitten by a spider or something?
Hold on. I don't know all the details. I'm just telling you what she told
okay.
me, and then we can.
Well, now I'm fascinated. Yeah.
She tells me that she went to CVS, the drugstore, and that she actually pulled her pants down and showed the pharmacist this spot on her ass.
Yeah.
And he told her whatever kind of lotion she had. And that first she thinks she's sick because of the bug bite.
No. Right?
Second, she would like to sue the hotel because, and I'm going to use Beth Ann's words, not mine. She said, because what has happened is, it's a beautiful, slightly fleshy, but beautiful ass that has now been ruined.
Do you think this is just a ruse to cover for enthusiastic bed play? You think she did find somebody on her vacation? Maybe bounce off the walls a couple of times?
I don't know. I think, now, did
hello?
Did I tell that accurately?
Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, you really did listen.
What do you think bit you?
We Googled it. We think it's a brown recluse.
Oh, my God. That can like, rot your flesh off.
That's what my mother said, and quite honestly, I mean, we've compared the picture that my daughter took almost a month ago, to what it looks like now, and I feel awful and have felt awful since it happened.
Let's put that picture on the web.
Yeah.
No, we're not putting that on the web.
Is the area still in bad shape?
Yeah, and that's what I'm most angry about.
Well, you should go to a doctor.
I'm going on Saturday, but I called the hotel on Monday or Tuesday.
What'd they say?
They just said, well, have you been to a doctor? I go, no, but I've been to a pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
And they said,
the hotel's not liable.
Well, I was in their hotel.
If a spider crawls from the beach into the hotel,
the sheets.
It looks like John Travolta's helipad. Hey, listen. Is it in such a revealing shot that you couldn't at least show us what you showed the CVS guy so that we can...
At that point, I just wanted relief, and I would have pulled my pants down.
Is
it on the lower part
that.
Or the upper part of your butt?
It's on the lower part of the flank.
Lower part of the what? Of the flank?
Here. I mean, right where you would grab somebody's ass.
So it's right next to the crack?
Come in and show us.
I'm not showing you.
Why? Will you show us the picture?
None of you are a pharmacist. What?
What about a picture?
I'm not showing you a picture.
Is it gross?
How do we know that you're not blowing this totally out of proportion, that it's no more than a simple pin prick?
You can call Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer would verify
that's
it?
That's what I wanted to do, is call your daughter and ask your daughter
about it. Did you wake up to it?
Well, what happened was we went out to the pool, and I wear a two-piece, and Jennifer said... What happened on your side, Mom? I go, huh? And
because
it's like, I have to look over, I go, I don't know what that is, Jennifer.
Baby.
What is that?
When did you get bitten? Did you get bitten down by the pool?
No, it happened during the night.
Yes, it always does.
It always does, Rob. I tell you what.
There we go.
Run in Jennifer's number, would you please? Oh, Rob Googled brown recluse bite.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some really funky pictures.
Like that?
I got to see this.
Oh, God.
There were two blisters. It looked like I had been burnt by something.
This picture that we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, really, Beth Ann, you ought to come in here and look and see what a brown recluse bite looks like.
Come in and tell us.
Okay.
Look what we have on the... Come on in here. Okay. Look at what Rob just Googled. Look at this gross picture, which incidentally looks like something from one of the pornos that I would turn off.
I would say that...
looks like a young lady who's...
Oh, my God, yes.
Unless she's got what looks like a piece of veal parmesan on her flank.
Come here.
I don't think it's what that is.
You see this thing that he Googled?
But see, that's a bad one. But, I mean, it looks kind of like that.
So it's like brown and mushy? Gross. Is it crusty?
No.
I put
foreign on it.
Okay, now without pulling down your pants, turn around. Just show us where it is. Just on your butt, show us where it is.
Right there.
Is it like a little hole?
Ooh.
Where is it?
Is it like buzz? Well, it's a big hole, if you must know.
Yeah. If you got bitten by a brown recluse, you would be in
Are you looking at
dire straits.
Have you seen the foot? Have you looked at the foot? Did you see the one with the...
You ever been bitten by a white recluse?
Yeah,
I was once.
Howard
Hughes bit me one time.
What?
I can tell you something.
Look at what?
Look at Buzz's picture of the foot.
Is it sort of like a hole like that?
It had that in the beginning until I put the Neosporin on it.
Right, yeah. That's a brown recluse.
You know who's a brown recluse now? Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
You never see him anywhere.
How do you notice I haven't been myself?
That'd be more, to modernize that, that would be more like Chappelle. When he went over to South Africa.
Or Ricky Williams. Brown Recluse.
Okay.
No, but I think a Brown Recluse would put you out of commission. Completely.
Also, I think it'd be a dynamite name.
I'm a trooper.
Be a dynamite name for a new car. And the all-new Chrysler Brown Recluse.
The Brown Recluse.
I'd buy one.
Hold on now.
A car for one.
Beth Ann, we always get these calls. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott here. She got bit by a brown recluse. It heals, then it ulcers, and then it starts to spread into her blood. So she should go to the hospital and get that checked out.
Wow.
So did it heal?
You think you feel good, and then it just hits you real quick.
But we have the progression of days here.
Oh, no.
You should see it.
I'm on day.
Look on day 11.
So there's day one.
Hold on. Scroll down. Come over here,
Oh,
Mike.
My God.
It looks like somebody's cooking pasta. Looks like an Italian dish. I mean, the skin is peeling away, and it looks like someone is boiling ragu spaghetti sauce.
That is nasty.
Lasagna, anyone?
Shift graft 30 days later.
38 days later after a skin graft, you'll be fine.
I bet they sued.
Oh, boy. Oh, Beth Ann.
Oh, my.
Now everybody's calling about this. Hello there, Don.
Is it as big as a quarter?
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah, hey.
Tell her to go to the hospital immediately.
Tell yourself. She's right here.
I hear. Okay.
Beth Ann.
I'm going to go Saturday.
Don't wait. You got staph infection is what it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Go tonight.
Okay,
she's
I'll go.
Working at the right staff. What does the butt look like now?
It's brown. Uh-huh. And it has discoloration. Almost looks like a really, really bad bruise.
Can we please see?
No, you're not seeing
it. Come on.
No.
I showed you where I got stung by the wasps.
How long have you had it?
You can come to the... What?
How long have you had it?
Since...
Rob is killing
September
me.
September 14th.
With all of these pictures he's Googling, Mike, I know it's too much.
It's gross.
This is one that almost looks like rotten cheese.
No, I got to ask, Beth Ann, is it
got some mold and some pus coming out of it.
No, it's not oozing.
No, no.
Can you check out
it, it had two blisters on it, and then it popped.
Yeah.
And then I put Neosporin on it and kept cleaning it and then bandaged it.
Yeah.
You know what that looks like?
Okay.
That looks like Donna's nipple.
Ah!
Yeah.
She doesn't work here anymore.
Oh, and you saw her nipple?
Wow. No, I'm just guessing.
Oh.
I'm just guessing that that's what that would look like.
Hey, we're all in here.
Okay, anyway, everybody seems to think you should go to the hospital, Beth Ann.
I was just reading about it. You can get gangrene from that.
I know. It's not good, Joe.
Wow.
Homo.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
And Joe. The Joe button's right by the homo button.
Rainy day, Joe.
Brown recluse.
Hang in there till Saturday. Gangrene.
Nasty ass spider.
Could get gangrene.
You ought to get yourself to a hospital.
Sorry, we're out of time.
This is the Don and Mike Show.